It's time for LVC Football on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. Today's game is brought to you by Lebanon Valley College. Now let's take it out to the game with John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy.
He comes in 1-4. Widener comes in 3-1. A couple of tight wins the last couple times on the field, though, for Widener. For LVC, game they wanted to forget from a week ago, that was a Beeler that's coming up after this on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics. Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club.
Brian Kaiser back on the pregame show alongside of Lebanon Valley head football coach Joe Beeler. Coach, a week ago, Delaware Valley, result didn't go very well, but talk about one of the great things about football is game's over, you turn the page, the next game's a different one. The outlook for this team this week, what was the mood in practice?
We had three great days of practice, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Spirited, our players are determined and focused. We have it. I tell everybody this. This team practices better than any team since I've been here. Every day they show up and work really hard. And as I said to them this morning, it's time to all that hard work pays off with a victory.
What do you have to do to have that translate now onto the field? Is there anything you can really put your finger on? I'm guessing not, because we haven't seen it yet.
Well, I would say this. We still are making mistakes that are costing us on the field, and we need to clean those up, and we've been working to clean those up. And part of that is some guys maybe trying to do more than what they're being asked to do because they so desperately want to do well and they want to win. I think that might be the issue behind it. But we talked this week a lot about trusting each other, trust your teammate to do his job, and you do your job to the best of your ability, and then good things can happen.
Let's move to the quarterback position, because that's a position of trust for everybody. And right now, a week ago, Tyler Cottle came in that game in place of Tim Peroni. Neither quarterback necessarily distinguished themselves in that game. What is the decision for this game?
Tyler Cottle will be our starting quarterback today.
Okay. Short to the point. Let's talk about this Widener team, because this is a team that, running-wise, they run the ball a lot better than some of the Widener teams we've seen recently, and has masked some of their issues that they've had turning the ball over through the air. What do you have to do to stop their offense?
Well, I know our defensive coaches put together a really good plan against them, and certainly we're going to have to load the box like teams have been doing against us, and I think our teams are very similar. We're both really good at the line of scrimmage and have some talent and have struggled to throw the football. And so it'll be a battle on which one of us, I think, can impose their will, and I think which one of us can maybe get that passing game to take another tick up.
Well, at the other side of the ball, so Widener team is number one in the conference right now, only giving up 47 yards rushing per game. How important is it for the offensive line to establish that tone that we're going to be able to run the football and that's going to be able to open things up?
Absolutely, yeah. We're as I've told you before, we're not shy about saying it. We're going to run the football, and our offensive line is prepared for what they do. We feel really good about our game plan, but it's about execution. It's going to be about those five guys and our tight end and fullback, executing and mugging guys up, and that'll be the way we can get some running room to go, hopefully with some better long drives.
last thing is about some of the intangibles. You've got homecoming here today, so the crowd's going to be hopefully fired up and ready to go. And then after this, a two-week break. So a very important game for this team in terms of trying to get some momentum and going into that second half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked a lot about the fact that it's time to sort of put the first five behind us and start with a fresh five. And that's what we're doing today. We've got a goal in mind that we want to try to kind of have a second half season and start today 1-0.
Thank you very much, Coach. Good luck today.
Thank you.
Lebanon Valley head football coach Joe Beeler back with more after this here on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
LVC winter sports are just around the corner. Men's and women's basketball home games get underway with the Renzo Marquette Tournament on October 18th, 19th, and 20th. Men's ice hockey hits the Hershey Park Arena October 29th, and women's ice hockey will face Utica November 1st. For schedules and information, check out GoDutchman.com. The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
And welcome back here on the pregame show. Brian Kaiser with you, along with John Wilsbach. Steve Lee with us as well. As Lebanon Valley College, it's homecoming 2016, and the Flying Dutchman trying to use this large homecoming crowd. And John, just a great turnout here already. You know, a lot of times when you see a team that is not playing very well, the record isn't good, the homecoming crowd maybe stays away a little bit more. You got weather that's not exactly bright and sunny outside, yet this crowd, just very, very encouraging.
Well, with homecoming, they do it right here at LVC, and so many festivities last night with the Hall of Fame dinner, the golf outing, and a few other events. They've got events later on today and this evening, and, of course, tomorrow morning. So a lot of alumni coming back. You know, we are getting the light drizzle here right now. Could have been worse, obviously, had the hurricane just kept coming up the coast and throwing more rain at us. But for the most part, you know, the fans are here. They're weathered. They're ready to go. They've got no problems with it. And a good crowd indeed. They're parked up on the hill, and we've seen that a little heavier up there in the past. But still, this is a great turnout for what is a pivotal game for LVC this season, what direction they're going to head going into the bye week. And being with their current record and what happened last week with Dill Valley, you know, they've either got to win today or they've got to at least make a good showing against this tough Widener team.
So Widener team is 3-1 coming in. They've had their issues throwing the football this year, which is weird for them because it's a team that has thrown the ball extremely well over the last so many years. But Alex Kribda, the senior quarterback, even though he's throwing 59% for his passes, has thrown 9 interceptions. Yet this team has been able to overcome it. Their only loss coming non-conference against Rowan in game 1 of the season. They've won 3 straight in the conference. But when you look at the teams that they've beaten in conference, and you look at the scores that they've beaten teams by in conference, they blew out FDU Florham. But close games against Wilkes and Lycoming, neither team, which have their better lineups right now, makes you think that this is a winnable game if LVC comes out and plays the way we know we're capable of playing. You take a look at the LVC side, the main thing that you want to look at immediately, starting quarterback. Tim Peroni started the first five games of the year midway through last week. Tyler Cottle took over for him, did not distinguish himself, but the decision was made, and you heard in the interview with Coach Beeler, Tyler Cottle will be the starting quarterback today for LVC. You can expect to see Tim Peroni, I would think, in a lot of different ways here today. Remember, before he became the starting quarterback a year ago, they were using him at wide receiver. They would use him in the return game. You could see him just about anywhere on this field here today. So he will be an important part of the game plan. But Cottle will get the start, and he will be required to hold on to the football in terms of not turning it over for LVC to have a chance. We're going to step out for a one-minute break and station identification when we come back. It'll be kickoff here from Arnold Field. LVC hosting Widener. Back after this in a minute on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
WMSSFM.com. WMSS Middletown.
Super 91.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
It's Christmas at the Valley on Sunday, December the 4th. Come back for this time-treasured holiday tradition as LVC celebrates the joys of the season. Performances on Sunday, December 4th at Miller Chapel, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. It's Christmas at the Valley, Sunday, December 4th. For more information, it's lvc.edu. And a pleasant good afternoon and happy homecoming, everyone. John Wilsbach. Alongside Brian Kaiser. LVC taking on Widener. Flying Dutchman. Wearing the all blue and Widener in the white. So kicking off for the Widener Pride. The Racksack. Michael Racksack from left to right. Bouncing this one right down the middle. It's going to be taken at the 25-yard line. By one of the upbacks, that's Steinbiller?
Yeah, that's freshman Steinberg. Fullback.
Yeah, Steinberg.
C.J. Steinhilber. So let's take a look at the LVC offense. Sophomore quarterback Tyler Cottle, 10 for 23, 80 yards, one interception are his numbers for the year. That gets the opportunity today has Brendan Irving, the senior tailback, back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons coming into this one. He's going against the top rush defense in the MAC.
They start at their own 35. They'll try going up the middle to Irving, and nothing doing. Stopped immediately, and a loss of 2 yards.
Evan Lysick is the junior fullback. Travis Saylor, Michael Gavel, the senior wide receivers who get the start today. Dylan Berbrick is the junior tight end. Ryan Kingshill, senior left tackle, is one of the main cogs of the offensive line that includes sophomore Logan Stover, senior Bryant Weller. Scott Werner, the sophomore right guard, gets the start over the injured Anthony Sorbin, and Bob Van Horn is the senior right tackle.
Irving and Lysick back there. Cottle's going to roll to the left. Little shovel pass going again to Irving, and he'll lose two more. Back to the 31-yard line.
This is an outstanding Widener defense in terms of how quick they are. The front four, especially with Alex Stewart, Casey Kirshner, Vince Char, James Rendell, the ends and the tackles, respectively. Jacob Behorner, Tyler Bundy are the outside backers. Steve Gozer, is an outstanding senior middle linebacker. We'll talk about him. He's the leading tackler on this team. Jordan Powell, Justin Hardy, the sophomore corners. Kyle Lowry, Trayvon Barnes are the safeties.
Third and 14. This time, Cottle's going to line up under center with Bax in the eye behind him in a slot to the right side. Cottle back to pass. It's the draw play to Irving, and he'll lose three more on that. So Irving stuffed three straight times, and LVC brings in the punting unit.
Well, not exactly the way you want to start things offensively, but very what you would call conservative, especially when you have a quarterback making a start the first time this year. You don't want to put him in third down and long. They got stuck in third down and long. Didn't want to take a chance down the field on that one.
So punt situation, Moser standing back at his own 14. Wilson back to receive. Moser's punt. Fair catch called for. Wilson takes it up the 42. And that's where Widener will start out on offense.
They run a spread with Alex Krivda, the 6'5" senior quarterback. Dante Harrell, the 6'1" sophomore, 195-pound slot back slash tailback. He's the guy they use in the backfield. He's averaging over 100 yards per game so far this season. They run four wide receivers, Blaine Price, DeAndre Sapp, Hayden Warren, and Montrell Hicks-Taylor.
So a slot to the near side. Split on the far side. Handoff is up the middle. And Harrell will pick up a few up across the 45 to the 46-yard line.
Offensive line for Widener, Steven Dominoski, Austin Anderson, Shane Phillips, Tyler Quinones, and Dan Bererek. Three returning starters for this squad on the line.
Krivda again in the shotgun back there. He's got a man in motion, but again, he's going to hand it off to Harrell going to the left side. He's only going to get maybe a yard out of it, unable to get around the end.
Take a look at that LVC defense with Wyatt McLeod, Guy Zimmerman in the ends, Austin McGuire, Trent Donlin, the defensive tackles, Tommy Garner, Tom Gallagher, Alex Trujillo, the starting backers, Kyle Murray, Brendan Yetter, the starting safeties, Spencer Moser at one corner, and Mike Gilger gets the start for the injured Nick Tucker at the other corner.
Third and four. They'll go again to Harrell, running it to the left side, and he'll grind out enough for the first down across midfield, but he coughs up the football. And it's loose in midfield, and now Widener gets it back around the 48-yard line.
But they had the first down. The fumble causes them to lose the first down, brings up a fourth down, is going to force the Pride to punt. Great job by somebody. It was a cluster of people out there.
I think Tommy Garner's trying to take credit for it.
Well, we can give it to him. That's
sure.
Fine. He's been good this year. So third leading tackler on the team, and Tommy Garner, the junior linebacker out of Lititz, Pennsylvania, able to pop that ball free and force the punt from the Pride.
Michael Raksak to do the punting, standing at his own 37, gets this one away. Low spiral taken by Schumacher, and he gets wiped out right at the 16-yard line.
Outstanding coverage from Widener on special teams. They just streaked right down the field, and making that stop was Gary Voss, a sophomore defensive back for Widener. This Widener defense, John, you look at what they've done so far this season defensively. It all starts with the rushing defense. Four games, they have allowed an average of 47 yards per contest. And while they may be going up against the top rushing attack in the MAC in LVC, 47 yards in four games is very impressive.
Lysak and Irving in the eye. First down from their own 17. Play action. Cottle lobs it out. Has Manning the tight end. He'll pick up 1 yard, maybe two, up to the 19-yard line.
Do you get the feeling, though, John, that this is going to have to be a defensive struggle today between these two teams? A week ago, Widener went four overtimes with Lycoming. The game was 14-all at the end of regulation, and the two teams just picked away at each other, and finally a field goal for Widener was able to steal that game late. This is where LVC, if they can loosen this team up a little bit, they're going to have to show they can pass in order to be able to run in this game.
Second down and 8 from the 19-yard line. Again, backs in the eye. Cottle back to pass. Throws out to the right side. Gavel gets leveled and targeting there.
Yeah, that's going to be targeting. And you've got somebody who, as soon as he made that hit, started going to the sideline, and sophomore Jordan Powell, because I don't think we're going to see him for the rest of the day.
Helmet came flying off of Gavel, who took the shot very high. Pass wasn't even on, though, Brian.
No. The pass was poor.
Yeah.
And
it was just a short pass out in the flats.
It was a short pass in the flats. It was a ball that was probably not thrown as hard as it needed to be thrown. It put the wide receiver at peril, and Gavel is not up yet.
And there is the ejection.
Yep. It's automatic, and that was an easy one. As soon as Powell made that hit, he started going over the sideline because I think he sort of knew. He tried to stay out there on the field, but you just can't do that in today's game.
No. Especially when you see a helmet come flying off the guy. You know that it was a targeting.
But you know also, John, that play 20 years ago, before what we know now about head injuries, that play 20 years ago, everyone's just jumping up and down, and it's probably considered a clean play. Now, you can't do that, and it's definitely something that coaches have really gone long lengths to make sure that players understand. Hey, you can make a big hit, but you cannot go high like that. You cannot go at the head. That was a direct shot at the head of Gavel, and the evidence was the helmet coming off and the fact that Gavel, he's over here on the sideline. He's shaking a couple guys' hands over here.
But they'll probably have
they'll
to
be evaluating
through the evaluation for possible concussion. But it's a first down for LVC at their own 34-yard line, first and 10. This time they go with Robinson as the fullback. Irving still the tailback. And they'll put Wise over on the far side. Cottle under center. First and 10. It's going to be Irving going to the left side, trying to get outside. He will not. He'll get back just to the line of scrimmage, maybe even lose a half yard. But Irving has not had any positive game.
Well, there's nowhere to go. No. This defense, and we're seeing how good they are. There's a reason that they have allowed as few yards rushing per game. It's because of how quick they are. These linebackers, Mahorner and Bundy, get to the edges very quickly. You've got a guy in the middle in Gozer who he was a strong side linebacker 2 years ago, a weak side linebacker last year, moves to the middle, and he's first on this team in tackles and just absolutely eats everything up on the inside, and four active guys up front.
Second and 11 from the 33. Wise in motion to the near side. Again, backs in the eye. Cottle goes Irving to the right side. This time finds a little hole out to the 35 and up to the 37. He'll pick up about four.
Wasn't a ton there. But really, Irving did well just picking his way through some tackles. There was some traffic there. John, in a game like this, this is where we go back to that idea of being able to throw the football on first down. And I understand that Coach Beeler is very adamant. We are a rushing football team. But I think in a game like this, throwing the ball on first down to try to get this team to back off maybe just a little bit and maybe run in some less predictable situations may help this team be able to run the football later on.
Slot near side, split far side. Third down and six. Cottle rolling, throws its pick off, and this will be a pick six for Widener and Steve Gozer. 40 yards on the interception, just stepped in front and takes it to the house.
Looked like he was the intended receiver, how he broke on the ball.
Yeah.
Read the eyes of Cottle the entire way, and Cottle felt some pressure from the backside of that play, and that was enough for him to try to release that ball a little bit early. His receiver did not react to the throw, wasn't expecting it yet. Man, Gozer was. He took off, and nobody had a chance at him.
Sideline warning. But either way, score count 6-0 Widener. Steve Gozer.
Main thing you've got to do as a quarterback, do not turn the football over. Did not happen on that drive for LVC, and as a result, they're behind.
Rexack in for the extra point kick for the Pride. Snap, hold, kick is on the way, and it is good. We'll step out, 8:46 to go in the first. Widener 7, Lebanon Valley College, nothing. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present the astonishing truth about exercise in the brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function? Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
Al Widener with a pick six, and now they lead it 7-0 on LVC. Midway through this first quarter. Coming up at halftime, we'll be talking to one of the five inductees into last night's LVC Hall of Fame, former football player Scott Merrick. Kickoff coming up. Widener to boot again. It's going to be Raksak, left to right. Again, squibs this one right down the middle. This time it's taken around the 25-yard line and recorded all the way up, or returned all the way up to the 40-yard line.
Best offensive play of the game for LVC. That's Dylan Lobach.
Yeah.
They need a spark right now.
They need something.
They definitely need a spark. And Cottle, a year ago, when he started the season off against F&M, looked fantastic at times in that game. And then 2 weeks after that, looked like a deer in headlights when he ended up throwing two out of his first three passes in that game for interceptions and was benched at that point. I'm hoping that that first interception will spark the positive side of things and not the negative.
From his own 41, backs in the eye. This time it's Fink. He tries running right, and he stumbles and falls down back at the 38. He'll lose three.
If this team can't run, though, it puts so much more pressure on the quarterbacks. And right now they're just not getting the play out of the quarterbacks to enact that. That means that offensive line has to do a little bit more.
And which means they could have to resort back to Peroni, who's able to run out of that backfield or pass.
It is an option. Yeah. It is something that they are going to have to keep in mind, because they cannot continue to face second and third down and longs and be successful in this offense.
Second down, 13. Again, backs in the eye. Fink, the deep back, with Wise wide on the near side. Cottle is under center. Handing it off to Fink, trying to go left side, looking for a hole. Has the ball almost stripped out of his hands, but he held on tight enough and still picks up a couple more up to the 43-yard line.
Trayvon Barnes is a returning starter at safety for Widener. He went right after the football as soon as he saw Fink's forward progress was stacked up. And that's something that good defenders do. If you look at where a lot of fumbles happen in today's game, it's when a player's forward progress is pretty much slowed down and that guy from the backside of the play goes ripping after that football. And where the running back's worried about trying to get that extra yard somewhere, Fink did very well to hold on to it.
Third down and 8 from their own 43. Slot to the near side, backs in the eye. Cottle's going to hand it off again. This time it's Irving up the middle, gets across the 45, up to the 47. It'll bring up a fourth down and 4, and the punting unit comes in.
I got to be honest with you, John. I actually don't mind that call, and that's because it's third down and long. You already have a quarterback that the last time he threw the football did something negative with the ball, and this is a chance in a non-rushing down to try to catch a defense going after the quarterback. You just need one more block there, and maybe Irving picks that one up.
Moser to punt, standing back at his own 34. Wilson back to receive for Widener. Should have gotten an offside there against Widener.
And that would have been a first down, and the line judge over here, we're dead even with that, John.
Oh, yeah.
They just absolutely missed that call.
Wilson makes the fair catch up around the 28 yard line, but there was still a foot right there, pretty much next to the center snap.
It's next to the football. It's offside the second that happens.
I'm surprised that none of the coaches are really barking about
it. Oh, no. Mark Costello, the special teams coach for LVC, was right in the ear of the referee. It was basically AWOL on the play.
First and 10, Widener takes over at his own 28. Slot near side, split far side, man in motion, handoff again up the middle to Harrell, and he'll be stacked up at the line, still able to get up to about the 31, a gain of 3. We've got 6:10 to play, and counting here in the first. 7-0, Widener leading LVC, homecoming in Anvil, just a light sprinkle coming down at times here so far. Shotgun on second down. Grivda throws near side. That is complete to Hicks Taylor, and he'll be driven back, but still able to pick up about four on the reception. They'll mark him up to the 35.
What, really late whistle from the same line judge who, I mean, you had five LVC players there. And he wasn't going anywhere else. He gave LVC a chance to try to rip the ball loose. But, I mean, he's got nothing else. I mean, somebody has to start blowing a whistle, paying attention to the game that he's watching.
Third and three. Grabbed a shotgun in the pocket, throws left side. That is complete to Warren, and he will have the first down up to the 43-yard line.
Hayden Warren, second-leading receiver on the team in terms of catches and in terms of yardage. A guy who at 6'4", 225 in this lineup, they use him as more of an H-back, tight end. They'll split him out sometimes. A very versatile player for Widener.
First down in the pocket. Kribda throwing deep down the left side. Got a man, but put it out there just too far down that far side. Is that Wilson? Not sure, but whoever it was, he had him open.
That was Blaine Price. He's the speedster over on the outside of that X position at wide receiver. Moser sort of just looked at him and just let him go by. And that's sort of the book on Kribda at this point. Short passes, pretty accurate. Long passes, rocket arm, but inaccurate.
Second down, Kribda again, throwing down the left sideline, but lofts this one up too high and out of bounds, incomplete. Not sure where or what he was doing on that one.
And this is the inconsistency that he's shown this year, which is why if you look at who Widener's played this year, they played very well against Rowan in week one, and then they blew out FDU form, but the last 2 weeks he has been erratic with his passing and has turned the ball over. That's where LVC has to take some advantage and maybe get something out of that and his ineffectiveness throwing the ball.
Third down and 10 from the 43. He'll throw again left side. That is complete to Price, close to the first down. That looks like they're going to give him a nice spot.
That's where he's.
Right,
that's where he tapped.
48.
That's where he tapped the toes, but he's still a yard shy.
Yeah, you're right. About a half yard shy. They're going to stay out there. They're going to go for it on fourth and less than a yard. They'll line up at the 48.
They have a great running game and a 6'1" running back. This is an easy call, I think, for midfield.
They'll go, and it'll be a first down for Harrell, who kind of jumps over the line and skedaddles through a couple more guys to the 44.
Hayden Warren, though, is injured on the play for Widener, grabbing at his arms, and he is still on the ground. The play itself, poor timing on it, and really that was Harrell just making something out of not much there, able to jump through, find just a little bit of a crease and continue forward.
We've got an injury timeout. We'll step out. 4:28 to go in the first. Widener 7. Lebanon Valley College nothing. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. The Wig and Buckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, wigandbuckle.com. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy, back in Anvil. Studio producers Gary Groover, Lydia Hirsch, glad to have you along. Homecoming here. Great crowd on hand. And the injured player is Hayden Warren being helped off the field.
And for a receiver, and especially a guy who's important in this offense as far as what he does blocking as well, that's not what you're looking for, an ankle looking type of injury. That's where you have to push off. So it's going to be difficult for them to replace his versatility.
Kribda rolling, has plenty of time, going to the right now, throws up field, incomplete through the hands of the intended receiver of Sapp.
Mike Gilger made a great break on that ball, never leaving, and it's a long time for a corner to stay in man coverage out there on the outside. Kribda rolling one way, looks down the field, nothing there, has to come over here to the right side, right towards where Gilger is, and he's able to break on that ball. Very good drive for the guy who's replacing the injured Nick Tucker here today.
Second down and 10 at the 44 of LVC. Trips on the right side. Krimdus is going to throw to the left side. Incomplete. He had a man, but perfect timing on the hit by Moser. And Price was unable to hold on to it.
And Moser, in the same way, we've seen these corners really give a lot of cushion, John, in previous weeks. I think this is a good adjustment from Coach Pantalone defensively and in the game plan and what they've come up with in terms of this is a team that does not throw the ball overly accurate down the field. Get these corners up close to the line of scrimmage. Try to take away these short passes.
Third down and 10 at the 44 of LVC. Trips right. Draw play. Harrell trying to go up the middle. Gets tripped up in the backfield. He'll lose a few yards. And it's a fourth down and about 13, and the punting unit comes in.
They brought the blitz with Tim Schumacher, and that was enough to at least mess up the offensive line in their assignments. And what it also did was it created traffic right around where Harrell's trying to pick his way through, runs into the back of his offensive lineman, knocks him off balance, and falls to the ground.
Raczak to punt. He's standing back at his own 38-yard line. Cramp and Schumacher to receive. High snap. Gets it away. Another nice long spiral bounces at the six. Dead bounce near the two, and Widener takes it down into the end zone with him. They could have stopped it right around the two, but they grabbed it, in they went.
And here's the difference, because we saw the same thing last week on a play where somebody downed the ball around the four-yard line and ran the ball into the end zone. There was no control on that play for Widener. Nobody ever was able to gain control of the football. And because they couldn't gain control of the ball, it goes into the end zone. Good call by the official. That is a touchback, and also fortunate for LVC because you definitely, how Widener is playing defense right now, you do not want to be backed up in the shadow of your own goal.
Yeah. So the Flying Dutchman take over at their own 20-yard line. Backs are in the eye. Cramp goes in motion to the far side. On the near side. Handoff up the middle. Forget it. Irving, nowhere to go. Back he goes. He's going to lose a couple more. Most of his carries have been in reverse today.
LVC, after that carry, is up to a whopping 1 yard rushing here in the first quarter of play. You got to throw the ball on first down, John.
I mean, yeah.
I understand the problems with the quarterback situation. You don't necessarily trust anybody, but this is a defense that is no joke, and you must loosen this team up, and you've got to be willing to throw the ball on downs where it is not your norm.
Hand off right side. Pick up of a few yards by Irving. He'll get back up to the 20.
So that's going to bring up a third down, and we saw the last time this situation came up, a definite passing situation, but LVC decided to run the football the last time. We'll see what they choose to do here. And they definitely are not brimming with confidence at the quarterback position right now. So can they give Cottle, maybe this is where you just try to use his strong arm. Baxter's in the game, the speedster one-on-one on the near side.
Third and 10 from their own 20. Gavel goes in motion. Someone moved on the offense. And back five more, it will go.
That very easily becomes a, now with third down and 15, and just the way that this has gone thus far, I think this is going to be shovel pass, draw play, something safe here. I can't see them trying to go down the field. They'll just try to play defense. The defense has played well. It's been that pick six that's the determining factor in the game thus far.
Third and 15 from their own 15. Wide to the near side, slot to the right, in the eye. Cottle, handoff. Irving gets through the middle of the field and then cuts to the left, picks up a few, back to the original line of scrimmage. Give him five on the run, fourth and 10, punting unit comes in.
Yeah, and when your defense is playing as well as LVC's is right now and your offense is not clicking the way LVC's is right now, this is where you really have to just be smart about things. You don't have confidence in throwing the football yet? That's fine. Punt the ball away. See if your defense can make a play to get the ball back.
Moser stands back around his 8-yard line. Gets rid of this one, end over end. Wilson back to receive, takes it at the 46 across midfield. 45-40, flags are thrown, and he's tripped up around the 36-yard line of LBC.
Yeah, fortunately for LBC, we're going to have an illegal block against Widener. Otherwise, that would have given the Pride outstanding field position around the 35-yard line. But instead, this is going to negate it, bring it back into Widener territory.
50 seconds remaining in the first. 7-0, Widener leading Lebanon Valley College. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser with you. We'll be joining on our alternate stream at WNSSFM.com, the CD East game, in about 15-20 minutes. So only one of our two streams will have the LVC game. So keep that in mind. If all of a sudden you hear high school football, you need to switch to the other stream, because you're on the wrong one. First and 10. Widener. Krivda. Shotgun. Going to hand it off right side. Here comes Harrell. Finds a hole across midfield. Has the first to the 46 of LVC.
And you see who made the tackle out there. That would be Tim Peroni, who's out there on defense for LVC. They've told me pregame they're going to be using Peroni in many different places on this team. They have a lot of trust in what he can do as an athlete. Needed to there, because Harrell had a full head of steam coming.
First down and 10. This time they're going to hand it off to Hicks Taylor up the middle. He'll get inside the 40 to the 39-yard line.
Yeah, you have to be impressed with what Widener does running the football. They've got some big boys up front. Let me give you weights. 295, 295, 300, 285, 345. This is the first offensive line we've seen as an opponent this year for LVC that averages over 300 pounds a man.
We've played one quarter here in Annville. Our score, Widener 7. Lebanon Valley College, nothing. Back in 60 seconds with the second quarter on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward, and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics. Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club.
And welcome back to Annville. Brian Kaiser along with John Wilsbach. We're ready to start the second quarter of action. On a pick six for Widener. The Pride lead LVC 7-0.
Second down. Krivda throwing deep down the right side. Has a man. It is complete. I believe that's Schlegel. Connor Schlegel all the way down around the 3-yard line. And has the first down.
And you're correct on the guy who caught it is Connor Schlegel, the 5'10 senior. 12 catches for 92 yards coming into this game. Meaning that's a guy who catches the ball short yardage-wise for this team a lot of times, showing he's got some jets too. Just a straight fly pattern down the field. They're trying to pick on Moser, who's sitting on the short routes. This time they burn them and complete it.
First and goal. Sapp in motion, but they'll give it up the middle. Hicks Taylor, and he has the touchdown. Montrell Hicks Taylor carrying the ball, and it's now 13-0 in favor of Widener.
Yeah, just a little bit easy there, but the deep ball is the thing that LVC, they're trying to protect against the short passes. They get beat long and down the sideline. Good game planning by Widener, because it was pretty clear that's what they've been looking for in the passing game early in this contest, and they finally hit the big play with it, and one play later than the end zone.
Extra point kick coming up for Raczak. They'll line up, the hold, and the kick is on the way. And it is good. We'll step out early here in the second quarter. It's Widener 14, Lebanon Valley nothing. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. LVC winter sports are just around the corner. Men's and women's basketball home games get underway with the Renzo Marquette Tournament on October 18th, 19th, and 20th. Men's ice hockey hits the Hershey Park Arena October 29th, and women's ice hockey will face Utica November 1st. For schedules and information, check out GoDutchman.com. Welcome back. John Wills back alongside Brian Kaiser. Widener up 14-0 now on Lebanon Valley.
That drive, three plays, 58 yards, took a minute and 17 seconds. And it is a 14-0 lead, as you said, and LVC right now in neutral on the offensive side of the ball. Just can't get anything going. Rushing for 8 yards, passing for 3 yards, throwing an interception for a touchdown. Anytime that that's the statistics you've got so far, your highlight has been your kickoff return. So let's see if we can get another big one here.
Kickoff's going to be taken by Gavel back around the 70s, up to the 15, near side 20. The 25 got some sideline at the 30, and then he's wrapped out of bounds near the 37-yard line.
It's definitely been the most explosive play that they've had. They've been two squib kicks up the middle. LVC got good field position on both of them. Here's Gavel with a nice return. They set up the wedge on the right side. Really, there was only one guy over there for Widener initially, and it took a while for them to get over, and a nice return for Gavel up to the 37. Let's see if they can loosen things up a little bit. I think they just have to take that leap of faith.
First and 10, LVC takes over at its own 37. Backs in the eye, Gavel goes in motion to the far side. Irving is the deep back. Hand off Irving. Trying to weave his way, now cuts to the outside. He gets pulled down. He's only able to get three out of it, up to the 40.
But it's a positive gain on the first down, which, you know, when you're talking about a three-yard gain on the ground being a positive thing, it shows you how well Widener has defensed LVC so far in the contest.
Early here in the second, it's 14-0 Widener, second and 7 from the 40.
And for Irving already today, 9 carries, 11 yards.
Second and 7, Irving the deep back, Gavel near side, Sailor on the far side. They'll go to the fullback, Lysik, and he'll grind out a few up to the 44. So now it brings up a third down, a long 3 for LVC. Coming up at halftime, we'll be talking to Scott Merrick, class of 04, inducted last night into the LVC Hall of Fame. Shall I say Dr. Scott Merrick?
Well, you should. He's earned that.
Third down and a long 3. It's going to be Lysik and Irving again in the eye. Gavel near side, Sailor far side. Cottle under center. Cottle rolls out to the left side looking. He's got room to run. He'll pick up the first and go out of bounds. Meanwhile, on the far sideline, Berberick got kind of knocked out. No flag thrown as he was trying to get over and make a block, but nice read by Cottle to see the open field and take advantage of the first.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything there from a flag perspective, but we're seeing the one thing about Tyler Cottle's game that has definitely improved, and that is his mobility. A year ago, 6'6", more or less a standing target back there. This year, a little bit more comfortable moving out of the pocket, showing good wheels to pick up the first down.
First and 10 at the 50. LVC going left to right. Backs in the eye with a slot to the near side. They'll go again. Irving trying to weave right to the left. Gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that's going to be it. So no gain on the carry again by Irving. Second down and 10.
It's so predictable, too, against a defense that's geared up to stop Brendan Irving. You're running right up the middle. And it's a give where Irving gets the ball. He takes a couple steps out of that I formation, and he has to stop all of his momentum because there's just too much clutter. This defensive line takes up so much space. They are big, they are quick, and LVC is having a very difficult time moving them off their spots.
Second down and 10. Cottle under pressure. Back to pass. Throws opposite side. There's Irving, caught at the 38, down to the 30 and out of bounds.
How did Cottle find him over there? Well, I'm assuming he knew he was going to be over there.
That was what the play was, but credit him because you had a ton of pressure coming off the edge. Berberick actually missed his block, the tight end, and coming in on him, you had one of the pass rushers, and I got to think that's Byron Connor, who's got 5 sacks, the leading sacker on the team, and a guy who comes in on those pass rushing downs specifically. He came off the edge with a ton of speed and just couldn't bring him down, and Connell just throws it to the spot.
19 yards down to the 31, first and 10, backs in the eye with a slot to the near side. Connell under center, handing off left side. Irving now tries to cut back to the middle, and again, just makes it back to the line of scrimmage. He might give him one to the 30.
And this is an offensive line for LVC that is a quality offensive line. You're not a quality offensive line. I mean, if you can say that you're 214 yards rushing per game, tops in the conference coming in, this team runs the ball extremely well. Shows you how good this Widener defensive front is, because we're not seeing anybody getting any forward movement on this line.
Slot to the near side, backs in the eye, second and 9, draw play, Irving up the middle, now cuts to the right side, the 30, and tripped up near the 27. Just not enough speed to get past this very speedy Widener defense.
It's a defense that's been built on speed. And we know that Brendan Irving has good speed. So he tries to get to the outside, and against a lot of teams, that draw goes for a huge game. Against this team, you got what you could out of that one. But look at what the difference is, John. Second down and long, running out of non-traditional running downs, Irving has a little bit more room. I think that's why you really have to try to open things up a little bit more on the earlier downs.
To the 27, it brings up a third down and 6. Slot to the left. Again, it's Irving trying to go left and nowhere to go once again. Maybe a yard to the 26 as those holes completely collapse as he approaches.
Lack of confidence in the passing game. Bottom line, there's a reason this team is dead last in the conference with 106 yards passing per game. And believe me, folks, Misericordia does not have a good passing game at all. That's a team that right now is not throwing the ball well, and they have more yards per game than this LVC team. It shows right now that sort of a play call tells you all you need to know about LVC throwing the football.
Fourth down and 6. Yeah, maybe a little closer to 4th and 5. Slot left. Shotgun Cottle in the pocket, getting pressure, wrapped up, sacked back at the 36, coughed up the football, doesn't matter. Widener's going to get it back.
Well, it does because it's turnover. But regardless, they are going to get the football back, and so much pressure.
And Cottle is down.
Well, he got absolutely decimated back there. Casey Kirshner came off of the front side of the play. You had Byron Cooper coming off the back side of the play. Cooper lines up, John, so wide that the tackle and tight ends cannot get out to get him. They actually have to take a very uncomfortable step to try to get to him. It's almost a sprint to try to get just a piece of him. And this is where you have to recognize that from the passing game, you're going to have to keep a back in to deal with Cooper off the edge, if for no other reason just to chip him, to disrupt him, because if he can use his speed and get around the edge, this is the sort of thing that happens.
This might be it for Cottle because he needs help getting off the field. It looks like it's the left ankle is what they were looking at. So he is gingerly limping off with the help of two players and taking the weight off that foot. And it looks like we'll probably be seeing Tim Peroni on the next series, which would tell me Peroni should not be out here on defense, which he is not.
No. Well, LVC throwing the football so far in this game. Got him 2 for 3 with a pick. 22 yards is the number on Cottle. We'll see if he can continue.
First and 10. Pass down the far side. Open man, and that is going to be, I believe, Thatcher Sapp. Yep, it is DeAndre Sapp. Nice pass by Kribda right down the seam for a first down to the 33 of LVC.
You had a layered pattern over there where you had the outside receiver running a fly route. Moser had to worry about that. That means the safety on that side, Kyle Murray, the senior, has to step up and see that. Check that. I think that actually may have not been him. It may have been actually Anthony Jenkins, but somebody's got to see that. Nobody picked up the slot.
29 on the pass. First down and the handoff to Randall. He'll get inside the 30 or right to the 30 for a gain of about three.
But Widener's starting to pick up on where the openings are. But they're able to do that because they can always fall back on the running game. So they can take a shot down the field in the passing game and then hand the ball off and pick up some good yardage. And that's the thing that LVC can't do right now. They don't have balance in the offense. And balance is so important for most teams at the collegiate level.
Second down and six. It's going to be Randall again trying to grind it up the middle. He'll get inside the 30 to about the 28 and driven back. And it will bring up a third down. And about five for Widener. Meanwhile, on the sideline, they're checking Cottle on that left ankle and foot. And Peroni is also warming up. So 8:01 to play here in the second. 14-0. Widener leading Lebanon Valley College football at the 28 of LVC. And a third down and five for the Pride. Widener based out of just outside of Chester. If you head down the Blue Route outside Philadelphia. College just off of 476. Third and five. Krivda, shotgun. Hands it off. Harrell up the middle. Has a hole at the 20, the 15. Still standing at the 10 and knocked down at the 5-yard line. Oh, he ran over a few guys on that run.
And, John, how many times you see at the Division III college level a running back 6'1", 195 pounds? That's usually the size that you would attribute to a guy who's going D1. Instead, you've got a guy with that sort of ability and talent running over you here at this level. Harrell, a man among boys.
Well, it's going to be a first and goal at the 5, and flags are thrown on the snap, so someone jumped there and moved for Widener, so that'll take it back to the 10 at least and be a first and goal at the 10.
Well, John, let's take a look at our first scoreboard update of the day. Not a heavy day in the MAC, as several teams have byes, but FDU Florham has the lead on Lycoming, 8-7. They scored a touchdown, went for two, got it, and then went for the surprise onside kick. Lycoming was ready for it and returned it for a touchdown. That is FDU Florham, but they still have the lead right now, 8-7, just entering the second quarter play.
First and goal, here's Harrell again, spinning off a couple guys, and grinds it back down inside the 5, close to the 3-yard line. So give him 7 on the run.
Other game that's going on right now, late in the first, it's a score fest at Kings, as Kings College and Misericordia are tied at 14.
Hmm. All right, second and goal. Football mark just inside the 3. Widener. Krivda in a shotgun. He's got Randall back there behind him and a slot to the left side. Krivda lobs it out. Randall cuts it up, and he's in for the touchdown. Chris Randall makes it 20-0 in favor of Widener.
Easy drive, too, for Widener. They had the opening pass where Krivda was able to find Sapp down the seam. And what that does, it immediately loosens up the defense. You're willing to throw the football on first down, loosens up the defense. Now they can't just sit on that running game. And Widener comes back with 5 straight runs. The last one gets them into the end zone. 6 plays, 62 yards, 3 minutes and 11 seconds. And Widener is running away with this one in the first half.
And Raczak with the extra point kick will step out. 6:07 to play here in the second. It's Widener 21, Lebanon Valley College nothing. Back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery.
And welcome back here to Arnold Field. Brian Kaiser along with John Wilsbach. 21-0, Widener leading the Flying Dutchman of LVC. Flying Dutchman will be getting the football back, see if they can find some sort of answer on the offensive side. LVC off next week. They will have a bye, and then in 2 weeks we'll be back with you when they are at Lycoming, starting the second part of the season.
Kickoff again is a squib down the middle, taking a couple high bounces, knocks around, and now three LVC players go to fall on it and luckily recover it on the 20-yard line. So the Flying Dutchman woes continue in this game.
Now, and the thing that's difficult about this for the coaching staff, John, is this team practices tremendously well.
Yeah.
And you will see some teams that do not practice well, they come out and they play great in a game. You will see some teams that practice great and they play great in a game. It is very seldom that you will find a team that practices well and can't translate it, but right now that's the 2016 Flying Dutchman.
Tim Peroni in a quarterback with Kyle Hurt. He'll roll to the left side. He's looking. He'll throw. Berberick can't hold on the tight end. Thrown just a little behind him as he was going to the sideline. Brings up a second down and 10.
Got to make a play, though. And that ball is put in a place where tight end's got to make the catch. And Berberick released out. You got a positive gain. Peroni makes the throw down the field. You got to make that catch. And this is where I think we're going to have to see this year's team.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
Third down and a long two for LVC around the 29. Shotgun. Peroni is going to roll to the left. He's looking to run it the whole way, trying to get out around the side. He dives for the marker, but I think he's going to be just shy, Brian. And there is a flag on the far side.
There's a flag on the far side. Usually that's a hold right around the edge. Just somebody trying to get out there. But you're right. He dove for the marker, but they had already marked him and that he had stepped out.
Oh, there was no flag.
No, it was somebody's towel.
Somebody's got the bright yellow shoes on the far side. Trayvon Barnes. In the traffic, Trayvon. Looks like a flag. All right, Moser comes out to punt for LVC. On fourth down and two. He'll be standing in his own 17.
At least it's not a white flag being thrown yet.
That's a good point. From left to right, Jess gets this one away. Endover and Wilson comes over to the near side. Takes a high bounce, and then he'll step away. And he gets knocked down around the 31-yard line. That's where Widener will get it back with 4:29 to play in the second. 21-0. Widener leading LVC.
Hey,
it's been
John,
a rough first year for Joe Beeler so far.
It has been. And I think, you know, there's going to be some things that he's going to take out of this first year. I think one of the things, he wanted to take on the offensive coordinator position to start things off. I think he's going to have to find somebody he trusts. That way he can delegate that sort of job. You may see some shakeups in the staff. You may not. I mean, it all depends. This has to be his team. And that's what it comes down to at the end of the day.
First down, Hicks Taylor with the carry up to the 34-yard line.
Rome was not built in a day, my friend.
No, and you know, at least they get that bye week next week that you know, they'll be able to look at the whole master plan and see you know how they can turn the rest of the season into a positive. It'll bring up a second down and 7. Slot to the near side. Krivda has Hicks Taylor behind him. Motion by Sapp. It's going to be Hicks Taylor trying to go up the middle, and he'll be stuffed at the line. Give him 1 yard up to the 35.
And this is where that defense, you know, they've had their moments this year. You know, and it's very difficult to really get any rhythm going defensively when your offense isn't doing anything, when they're not able to sustain drives, because you spend more time out on the field. You spend more time having to tackle. You don't have as much time to make adjustments. You know, so I think overall, the defense has not played poorly this season. And that even includes last week in that blowout loss to Delaware Valley.
Third and six, Kribta in the pocket. Now steps up, looks to run. He's up to the 35, gets the first across the 40. 45, the 50 being chased, and then out of bounds around the 42 of LVC. First down run by Alex Kribta.
I have a feeling that that's going to be the longest run of Krivda's career. Just because, I mean, here's a guy who is not the most mobile of quarterbacks, but LVC made him look like a sprinter on that side. A 23-yard pickup as he gets out of the pocket. There is nobody on that side, especially after he makes a good deke move to the inside, and LVC allowed him to get the corner.
First and 10 at the 42. This time, backs are in the eye. They'll pitch it. Hicks Taylor going to the left at the 40 and tries to cut back in, and then gets knocked out of bounds around the 36, 37-yard line.
Now with 2:33 left to go, now the clock becomes a little bit of a factor that could help the defense, but still, I mean, tons of time. Widener still doesn't have to rush things. And the way that they play offense anyway is out of this spread, and they like to go up-tempo, are capable of doing that. You always have to be aware of their running game.
Second down and three. At the 35 of LVC. Sapp in motion. But the give again up the middle to Harrell. Has the first down inside the 30 to the 28-yard line.
They're running right behind returning starters between the center, Shane Phillips, and the right guard, Tyler Quinones. And those two guys are returning starters and are really starting to gash this LVC defense.
Shotgun again, Kribda. This time he'll hand it again. Harrell up the middle. Picks up a few more to the 26.
Still their full allotment of three timeouts. So his substitution is back into the game for LVC at middle linebacker is the starter Alex Trujillo. Coming in for Hunter McGuire. Very young defense, too. That is one of the positives here for LVC. It's a defense that's played decently, and it's very young.
Kribta in the pocket, getting pressure, sacked back at the 34-yard line.
That's my guy. Guy Zimmerman was in there as one of the guys, and also Ryan Johnson converged. So it'll be Ryan Johnson and Guy Zimmerman combining for that half sack apiece. They just sort of met at the quarterback where Kribda had no place to step up that time. Both of them coming from the outside, but the pocket was at least compressed enough that he had nowhere to step forward, had a little bit of a deeper route that he was trying to throw on the play. The time ran out. He gets sacked, and a chance now for this LVC defense to get an important stop for them if they have any chance at coming back in this game in the second half. Got to keep them off the scoreboard here. Got to keep this at least manageable and see if somehow the offense can find some sort of homecoming magic in the locker room.
We are off next week, the bye week for LVC. So everyone kind of gets a break. And my goodness, what, another 10, 11 days? 11 days are starting college basketball practice. I think it's the 19th, if I'm not mistaken. We had the girls on last week. Taylor Troutman, Lexi Lance.
And that's a team that does not have a lot of returning players. On the men's side for LVC, there are a lot of returning players, a lot expected this year out of the LVC men's program.
Shotgun on third and 15. Pass on the far side, incomplete. He underthrows Wilson, and it brings up a fourth down now with the clock at 1:05 remaining in the second.
Garner was over there defensively for LVC. And you play a softer coverage on that third down and long. You don't want to allow them to pick up the first down on that play. You know, force them to throw something underneath. It was the right idea for Widener, but poor execution. We see where Kribda, again, his inconsistency at throwing the ball accurately so far this season has not allowed them to sustain some things.
Fourth down. Got to go for it here. Fourth and 15, Kribda throwing down the right side. It is complete to Schlegel. I think that's Schlegel, and Schlegel will be still shy of the first. So the LVC defense bends but doesn't break on this drive, and the offense comes onto the field one more time with a minute to go in the second.
A very necessary stop. And a good job defensively, realizing they don't have to gamble on intercepting the ball or knocking that ball away. All they would need to do in that situation is make sure he's not past the first down marker. They knew where they were on the boundary. He had a couple guys converge, and when Schlegel makes the catch on the play, he has nowhere to go. Smart play defensively, and it gets LVC the football back.
Peroni at quarterback with Cotto injured earlier in the game. Backs in the eye. Wise is wide on the near side. LVC taking over first and 10 from its own 22. We'll go again to Irving to the right side, trying to bounce it outside. Breaks through a hole, but could not keep his balance. He'll still pick up several up to about the 27. Had he kept that balance, oh, he was off.
He would have had a huge gain on the play. I don't think he goes all the way because his wider team's very fast. But still, he probably has a good 20, 30 yards on that play bare minimum, but just couldn't keep his footing through the traffic in the hole. But really, there wasn't anything there initially, and he did a great job of making something out of nothing.
Irving's going to hand it off again. Irving up the middle, across the 30. He's going to be close to the first down near the 33-yard line, but the clock at 19 seconds. They're just keeping it on the ground here, and it'll resume, and they're in no hurry. You know they have timeouts to stop it.
They know they need to regroup, and yeah. I think that's you had one starting quarterback who took a lot of reps this week. Now you have the other guy who's coming in because of the injury. I think you need a little bit of time. Regroup, reassess, and come out in the second half and see if you can make a comeback.
We have reached halftime. Widener 21. Lebanon Valley College nothing. Back in 3 minutes on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
It's Christmas at the Valley on Sunday, December the 4th. Come back for this time-treasured holiday tradition as LVC celebrates the joys of the season. Performances on Sunday, December 4th at Miller Chapel, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. It's Christmas at the Valley, Sunday, December 4th. For more information, it's lvc.edu.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present the astonishing truth about exercise in the brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function? Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
The Wig and Buckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, wigandbuckle.com.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
WMSSFM.com, WMSS Middletown.
Super 91.
And welcome back. We are in Anvil. It's homecoming here at LVC, and not a good homecoming on the scoreboard. Widener with a 21-0 lead on the Flying Dutchman as the LVC band getting set to take to the field. And, of course, we'll have more festivities here at halftime with the naming of the King and Queen. Brian will be back after a while with the out-of-town scoreboard and all the latest stats. Well, they inducted five new members into the LVC Hall of Fame last night here in Anvil at Sorrentino Gymnasium. And former football standout Dr. Scott Merrick, class of 04 and 06, will be inducted, or was inducted last night. And just 18 Dutchman football players to earn All-America honors. Proved to be a versatile threat at tight end. Named a consensus All-American following his senior campaign after leading the team with 41 catches, 632 yards, and 7 touchdowns in 03. He also contributed to a line that led the way for a 1,000-yard rusher in Pete Henning. Merrick also earned MAC All-Conference honors on three occasions, picking up second-team All-League honors as a freshman before being named to the All-Conference first team as a junior and senior. He ranks third in program history with 19 career receiving touchdowns, fourth on the school's all-time list of career receiving yards with 2,134. And for his career, he made 132 catches and averaged more than 50 yards receiving per game. So it's my honor to welcome here to the halftime show Dr. Scott Merrick joining us. And first, congratulations on the induction.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
I love that long bio, man. That is just juicy.
It really
builds some good football stuff.
It is. It is. And play for LVC was such a great feeling, such a great opportunity. And I don't tell many people this, but one of the, in our country with what's going on now with the national anthems, I make it a point to stand up and look and watch. When I sat in that locker room and I would hear the national anthem play, I thought, I knew, I was getting ready. It was time to go to battle. And every time I hear it, I get chills
because
it sends me back to that time.
As an athlete, a former athlete, it's got to drive you nuts when you see what's going on with people taking the knee and doing all kinds of different things. It's just not honoring the national anthem.
It's their right, but, it is what it is. We'll figure it out. We'll take it day by day, and we'll go from there.
Well, you know, different teams and different offenses, some will give that tight end the benefit and let them be a major part of the offense. Others just put the guy out there, let him block, and so on. You were lucky that there was an offense in place that took advantage of your skills and built upon it.
You're right. And I honestly believe that it kind of started right around my time. Before my time in the 2000 to 2003 range when I played, you just didn't see the tight ends being involved as much. But then people started getting smart. The Bill Belichicks of the day, of the ages, they started drafting the Gronks. And you see that it's a valuable asset. It opens up the middle of the field.
Yeah.
You know, instead of packing everyone in and letting the wide receivers and stop the run, what you're getting is you're getting a tight end that's just going to have to spread the field out much more.
And you were kind of the Gronk of LVC back then, I guess you could say.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
Now, were you also a blocking tight end, or did they use anyone else besides you for that?
I was a blocking tight end. We had some two tight end sets too.
Yeah.
There was one of my counterparts, one of my good friends, Mark DeNuno. He was our other tight end, and when we would go like a big set or something like that, he would come in on the goal line. We'd have that two tight end set, or we'd even have some two tight ends on the same side, like an overload to that one side, and obviously we'd run a power that way. But It was. It was versatile, where you can get down and dirty in the trenches, and that's what I always enjoyed about my job.
Yeah.
You can get your knuckles dirty, you can bang your heads together, but then you can be finesse. You could be a diva like a wide receiver and get down the field as well.
Now, let me ask you, what play do you recall, which one you like the most? Did they give you just a little pop pass? Did you do some deep post patterns, or
I honestly,
the out pass?
You know, I think if you get the protection right, it's coming across the field.
Yeah.
Because the linebackers, they're focused at that quarterback. They're watching the backfield action. If you could sneak right behind them at 10 to 14 yards, I'll tell you what, coming across the field, get that naked bootleg going the other way, I think it's about 95% chance you're going to complete it if you have the time. That was my favorite.
Now, who was quarterbacking you?
Well, primarily we went through a lot of quarterbacks.
Okay.
We primarily through my years, we had a quarterback by the name of Dallas Knoll.
All right.
I think he was an Elko guy that came up. He was our primary guy, but then we were riddled with injuries. We had another guy from Ephrata, Roger Foreman. And we had a younger guy, Zach Buffington, and then eventually it got to the quarterback that seemed like the quarterback of the future of LVC, Dan Kelly.
Yeah.
He set some records here and kind of blew it up and made LVC what it is today, why you see this wonderful crowd here.
Now, were you in that, I'm trying to think of the year, with the Hurricane game down at Widener, the 3-0 game, or was that a year?
No, that was probably a year or two after.
Yeah,
me. Yep,
okay.
But I'm aware of it.
Were there times where you went to the huddle when you knew you needed that 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, and you just said, look, send it to me, look for me, I'm going to get open?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
And I think it's having that confidence. You know you're bigger than the guy that's covering you. If I'm 6'2", 230, whatever it may be, there's a linebacker that may be 5'10", that you see him on top of you, and you're like, yeah, we got this. So I said, let's call that deep out route. Roll it out to that side and just throw me the ball. Or even, there's times where we could have been 20 yards out and we'd call a simple fade pattern or something like that. They'd split me out. Or we'd call a flag. Just kind of take it out, give them a double move, get to the corner of the end zone, and it was a no-brainer. I was usually coming down with it 80% of the time.
Talking to Scott Merrick here at halftime, inducted into the LVC Hall of Fame. Last night, one of the all-time great tight ends, receivers here in LVC history. Which year was the best for you, do you think?
They're all great years, John. Honestly, yeah. I started every single game that I played. And, you get banged up, you get some injuries. Fortunately, I didn't have any catastrophic injuries. But I can't pick out a single best game. I was just talking to my parents earlier today, my wife, my in-laws, and I think one of the best games, if I had to pick one, is when we played Delaware Valley my sophomore year. It was at Del Valle. It was before they became a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And what happened was it was back and forth. And I had a couple friends that I knew growing up in my area that actually played for the opposing team. And I think the final score ended up being something like 56-49 LVC.
Right.
And it was such a great game. I mean, we went back and forth. It was intense. And it may even went in overtime. I don't even remember. I just remember that we won the game.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of the history has been lost in some of those early years of LVC football. And, of course, Jim Monas came back and restored the pride in it and got things back to where LVC made the playoffs. Did you follow year after year then a lot with what the football team did?
Since I was I was in the doctorate of physical therapy program here, I had to go 2 extra years. So after I graduated and my football career with the NCAA was over, I actually did a graduate assistant year under Coach Mo.
Oh, okay.
And it was amazing. If I was to go into any level of coaching, just taking his expertise and his love of the game it could be impeccable to anything. So he was such an amazing coach, and it was wonderful seeing him this past year at the golf outing that we had with the alumni, and seeing him with his retirement. And fortunately, all 4 of us couldn't get a ball closer than to the pin than him. But it was something else coaching under him.
Now, what high school did you go to growing up?
I went to a little single A school. It was called Panther Valley. It was just about an hour and 10 minutes north of here.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yep.
And what made you choose LVC? Was it just the physical therapy program?
It was a number of factors. I'll tell you, it was the physical therapy program.
Yeah.
Had its trials and tribulations early, but it ended up working out well in the long run. And it was the athletics. And I saw the facilities. I saw the vision of the college, actually, to build these facilities. And it's at least 100 times better than it was 10 years ago when I played, 14 years ago. So, I mean, it was the vision. It was, and ultimately, coach of ours, he was a lineman, coach Mike Downey. He had come into our school, and he sat down in our school with him, and he gave us the pitch. Yeah, I have a feeling, you know, we see enough potential in you. You could start as a freshman, and you just got to prove yourself. So what happened is I came into camp, and I was ready. I worked out. I was in condition. And that's the thing about college football is they tell you, we're not going to run you to death in college like you do in high school and below that. We're going to expect you to play. We want you to learn schemes, and we want you to learn the offense. So I came in prepared and proved myself, and the rest is history.
Now, you're a doctor of physical therapy.
That's correct.
Your wife is a doctor as well?
That's correct.
Did you meet her here?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. She's a year younger than me. I was actually the first graduate in class with a doctor of physical therapy.
Okay.
From here. She was the second. And both of our classes, we both scored 100%. But it was a 100% success rate in taking our boards to become licensed physical therapists. Yeah. So I think that says a lot about the college and their support for the program and the program itself.
You guys have a practice together?
No, we don't.
Okay.
We work for separate practices. Right now I do home care physical therapy, which you basically travel to people's homes and you provide their care inside the comfort of their homes. And my wife, she's actually kind of taken a change of position where she's going to be doing the same thing.
Oh, good.
Not with the same company, but the same thing. And we feel like it's the future of health care in the physical therapy realm.
All right. Well, we are so glad you're able to stop by, spend a few memories with us. Before I let you go, any one great memory or one particular football game stand out?
John, there's just too many. You look at this field, there's nothing.
Yeah.
And everyone will say it. You know, you can,
well, you played on the grass and the dirt, though.
That's true. When we played at Wilkes that one time, it was a mess. But yeah, you talk to any football player, and we could find each other. We're a group within a group.
Yeah.
And you just you get choked up. You really do. You love the game that much. We weren't in it for a pro contract. There was no chance.
Yeah.
We were Division III, but we love the game. And that's really what it came down to.
That's great. Well, some great memories from hearing the stories from you. You certainly have set a great example for future athletes here at LVC, and the tight ends especially. We can get more of the tight ends involved like you were. Amazing.
Best of luck to LVC Coach Bueller.
All right.
I think they'll do very well under his command.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome, John.
Scott Merrick with us here at halftime. Class of 04 and 06 here at LVC. We're at halftime, 21-0. Widener with the lead. Brian Kaiser has your halftime stats and the out-of-town scoreboard when we come back on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Through gifts to the Blue and White Club, alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club. LVC winter sports are just around the corner. Men's and women's basketball home games get underway with the Renzo Marquette tournament on October 18th, 19th, and 20th. Men's ice hockey hits the Hershey Park Arena October 29th, and women's ice hockey will face Utica November 1st. For schedules and information, check out GoDutchman.com. The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
And welcome back here to Arnold Field at halftime. Brian Kaiser with you at the half. John will join me again in just a little bit, but gives us a chance to take a look at the statistics and also the out-of-town scoreboard here at halftime as the homecoming festivities continue here at LVC. As right now they are in the process of announcing the homecoming courts and crowning a king and queen. It's a 21-0 lead for Widener at halftime. Let's look at how that happened. Widener, 8:46 left to go in the first quarter. A Steve Gozer 41-yard interception return for a touchdown. Michael Raczak's extra point made it 7-0 Widener. The offense didn't score for Widener until 14 minutes and 33 seconds left to go in the first half. Montrell Hicks-Taylor, a 2-yard touchdown run, capping a 39-play drive. 14-0 the score at that point in favor of the Pride. They tackle on one more touchdown as Chris Randall ran one in from 3 yards out with 6:07 left to go in the first half. Raczak's extra point capped that 62-yard drive. 21-0 Widener. LVC offensively could not get it going. And they trail 21-0 at the half and now have been outscored the last 2 weeks through six straight quarters of football by a combined total of 69-0. Statistics in the first half, Widener, 8 first downs, LVC with 5. Widener was able to run for 99 yards in the first half. Lebanon Valley College, 23 carries, 34 yards total against the top rush defense in the MAC. Widener throwing for 98 yards, LVC for just 22. So 197 yards of total offense for the Pride, 56 yards of total offense for the Flying Dutchman, and averaging just about 2 yards per play in the first half. LVC also turning the ball over on two occasions. They lose a fumble and they have one intercepted. The fumble happened at the end of a sack. The interception was a pick six and was directly leading to points. LVC continues to struggle on third downs. 1 for 7 offensively on third downs, 0 for 1 on fourth down. For Widener, they were 3 for 7 on third downs, 1 for 2 on fourth downs, 2 for 2 in their chance at the red zone. LVC did not venture inside of the opponent's 20 in that half of football, but they did control the clock. Almost 17 minutes of offense possession time compared to 13 minutes for Widener. Individually, LVC led by Brendan Irving's 33 yards rushing on 17 carries. 1 carry for 4 yards for Evan Lysak. Ryan Fink, 2 carries for 2 yards. Tim Peroni, 1 for 1 yard. Tyler Cottle, 2 for -6 in the first half of play. Cottle was 2 for 3 for 22 yards and an interception. And he also was sacked and fumbled on a play, so leading to 2 turnovers before he was injured on that same sack. Peroni came in, and Tim was 0 for 1 in his only pass attempt. Brendan Irving, 1 catch for 19 yards. Trey Manning had the other catch for 3 yards in the first half for LVC. Spencer Moser had 3 punts for 31 yards. If you look at kickoff returns, Michael Gabel had a 30-yard return. And, folks, when you're talking about the kickoff returns as being major highlights in the first half, you did not have a good half of offensive football. Defensively, they spread the tackles around quite a bit. You had 4 for Tommy Garner to lead the way, a host of players with 3 apiece. And you had Guy Zimmerman and Ryan Johnson combining on a sack in the first half for LVC. Moving to Widener offensively. Rushing in the first half, Dante Harrell, 10 carries, 43 yards. Montrell Hicks-Taylor, 6 carries, 32 yards and a touchdown. Alex Krivda, 2 carries, 16 yards. Chris Randall, 3 carries, 8 yards and a touchdown. Krivda was 6 for 11, 98 yards, was sacked one time, did not throw a touchdown pass in the first half. main receiver was Connor Schlegel. Two catches for 48 yards. DeAndre Sapp had a catch for 29. Blaine Price a catch for 9. Hayden Warren a catch for 8 before he was injured. And also Montrell Hicks-Taylor had a catch for 4 yards in the first half of play. Along with his interception return for a touchdown, Steve Gozer also the leading tackler on this Widener team in the first half with 5 of them. Casey Kirshner had a sack included with his 4 tackles. Tyrone Bundy, the outside linebacker, out of his 4 tackles, 2.5 of them were for loss in the first half. All told, Widener with an outstanding first half of football in terms of what they were able to do on the scoreboard, especially 21-0 is their advantage over LVC at the half. Let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. A lot of teams on bye this week for your MAC conference, as this is a nice place right smack dab in the middle of the season. And a lot of teams will take this week off and look to come back from their bye. LVC, one of the teams playing. Another two teams that are playing, Lycoming and FDU Florham. That game going on in New Jersey. These are two teams that LVC will play later on in the season. And right now at the half, Lycoming up 14-8 is the score in that contest. FDU Florham scored a touchdown in the first quarter of play, went for 2 and made it, and then decided to get tricky and try an onside kick on the ensuing kickoff. And that didn't go so well because it was returned by Lycoming for a touchdown. They add on another touchdown, and despite turning the ball over 3 times in the first half, Lycoming still has a 14-8 lead on FDU Florham. The scoring fest that we have is going on at King's College right now as they host Misericordia. And with about 2 minutes left to go in the first half, King's leads 21-14 in that game. For King's, Zach Whitehead having a good game. 14 of 21, 222 yards, and 2 touchdowns in that contest. Tyler Maroney is leading receiver, already over 100 yards receiving for King's College. We'll see Misericordia later on in the season. Their quarterback, Leap, 8 for 16, 91 yards, no touchdowns, has been intercepted 1 time, as it's been the running game that has run the ball in for both Misericordia scores in the first half. And looking quickly at the standings, oh, one other thing to pass along, a halftime score. Penn State leading Maryland 24-14. So the Nittany Lions have found an offense all of a sudden. Let's look at the standings in the MAC as we're at the mid-season point for the most part. Stevenson leads the conference at 4-0. They're off this week. Widener right now, they are also unbeaten in the conference. And Stevenson and Widener on a collision course coming up in the near future. That will be next week, I believe. Yes, the 15th is when that game is, and that will be at Widener, the showdown between unbeatens in the conference. So that will be interesting to see which team still is on top alone. Other two teams still with hopes of maybe being that team to be a part of that mix. Delaware Valley and Albright, they are both 3-1. They are both on bye this week as well. Kings is 2-2. Then it's FDU Forum at 1-2. Lycoming, Wilkes, and LBC at 1-3. Ms. Recorded the only team in the MAC so far this year who has not gotten a win thus far this season. They are 0-4 on the year. So that's what's going on as far as statistics and as well as the scoreboard. We're going to step out for a 1-minute break. When we come back, we'll get set for the second half of action as well as maybe talk about some of the adjustments that both teams are going to make going into the second half. Back in 60 seconds, it's Widener 21, Lebanon Valley College nothing. Back in a minute on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student. Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
And welcome back here at halftime at Arnold Field. Both teams are coming back out at this point. We had the extended halftime show because of homecoming festivities. They have named a king and queen. All I can do for you folks is tell you who it was not, as you had two individuals from the football team, Bob Van Horn and Corey Keene, who were up for the king. Neither one of them got it. The king and queen, we'll see if we can get their names at some point. So the king and queen will get their names and pass them on to you, because that's one of those traditions at every university and college when you have homecoming, as they have awarded that once again this year. But when you've got homecoming, you need somebody to allow the home fans to be excited about the football game. And so far, offensively, the Flying Dutchmen have been just that. They have been offensive. It has not been a good performance thus far. 56 yards of total offense, two turnovers in the first half for LVC, one of them leading directly to a Widener score on a pick six. And that's where we are at the half. Injured quarterback in Cottle. Peroni came in for him. We'll see who it's going to be to start the second half. But I think, John, the main thing that we have to look at, too, is we have seen the running game. It continues to be a running game that they just go to it, they go to it, they go to it. And unfortunately, oh, my. Here are your king and queen. Terrence Abiyarmai. Hey, there we go. Terrence Abiyarmai and Vidya Lala.
Is the king.
No, Vidya is the queen.
Oh, Terrence is the
Terrence.
Queen.
We got to clean your ears out, old man.
You do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm disappointed. Van Horn, I was rooting for him.
I know. Hey, nothing more fun, though, than a homecoming king who is an offensive lineman.
Who was it a few years ago, the guy from the football team? Remember the whole team was all excited because one of the guys got it, and Monas was like, "Yeah, we even got the king on the team."
We were winning that game, too, so they had reason to be excited at that point. They were running away with that game at that point. That's not happening here.
Who was that? I can't remember now.
We'll pretend to look that up.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you.
Yeah, I don't believe that's in the media guide.
Why I'm saying we'll pretend to look that up. But yeah, let's face it. The performance in the first half from the offense was not good. The defense held on probably as long as they would be expected to hold on.
Yeah.
But when you turn the ball over twice, throw a pick six, only 56 yards of offense, at what point do they open up the offense?
Yeah, and it did not look good for the injury to Cottle. There in the first half, that lower left leg. Kickoff, Bentz boots this one deep, and it goes into the end zone and run back out because it was touched around the two-yard line, and it'll be just returned to about the eight. And right there is that great leg of Bentz.
Yep, exactly. And that's where he can be a weapon. We see that immediately in that kickoff. And who knows? I mean, all it takes in the game of football, being such a game of momentum, all you need is that one big play. And now you've got the ball pinned deep in Widener's territory. Can the defense produce something to get a stop, maybe even get a turnover?
They start at their own nine. Pass right down the seam, incomplete. Was quickly looking to throw it and didn't have a man open. That was intended for Richard Brown. But Kribda just couldn't put it there. Brings up a second and 10.
Brown's a big boy, and one of the reasons he's in there right now, I think he's the guy who actually is taking over for Hayden Warren, who was injured in the first half, who has good size as more of a blocking back.
Sapp in motion, but the carry is up the middle, and it'll be a gain of just a few yards. Was that Hicks Taylor or was it Harrell?
Oh, and he's running the football? I think it was Harrell. Harrell.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, and I saw number three come up for LBC and help make the stop, and that ended up being Brendan Yetter.
So Dante Harrell, it's a third down and 7. Krivda throws far side. It is enough getting it to Hicks Taylor for the first down up near the 19. And they will move the markers. So first down for Widener. We're just underway in the second half. They lead it 21-0 on LVC.
It means absolutely nothing for you if you get a great kickoff like they did and you can't turn it into field position.
Trips to the left side. Krivda looks right. That looks left. He's going to throw deep down the middle. He's got a man, and it's complete to Price for a first down to the 30 of LVC.
Yeah, a bunch of guys in the secondary, John. This is the best way I can say it. They all look lost.
Yeah.
You had
deep post, no one there.
And you had, but Murray was on one side, and he had the deep receiver on the one side. Nobody on the other side went with the receiver Price on the left side of the play, and Murray even had to come over to try to help out on that one.
49 yards on that pass. This time they'll hand it off to Harrell trying to go up the middle. He'll pick up a yard to the 29 of LVC, brings up a second and 9.
And, John, what you see from Widener as far as what they do on the offensive side when they run routes, a lot of times their routes are very, very similar on both sides where you'll force the safeties to have to make choices. Everybody going deep. Which guy do you pick up?
Second and 9. Here's Krivda throwing deep down the right side for the end zone. He has a man. No, he pulled it in, but he was out of bounds.
There's another one of those situations, though, John. And what it does, you had two receivers, both of them going straight down the field on that right-hand side. It forces the safety to make a decision. Who are you going to cover? Who are you going to help on? And the ball goes to the wide receiver. It forces one-on-one coverage on the outside, and Mike Gilger was there, did just enough on that play to force Hicks Taylor out of bounds.
So Hicks Taylor will line up wide on the right side, and they'll put Price on the left with the slot and 3rd and 8. This time they'll hand it off left side and spun around to the 25 with flags thrown as Hicks Taylor.
They stopped him short, but I think
check that Harrell. It'll be Dante Harrell.
They're going to get a face mask here, I think, John.
Dante Harrell.
Horse collar or face mask.
Got
illegal tackle
somehow.
Or something.
Oh.
Wow.
On the block in the back against Widener.
It.
Yeah, LVC will take it.
Because that's a late flag for a block in the back.
12:51 to go in the third.
That's a great play call, too. Because they're in a four-down territory. They're not kicking a field goal from where they were. So it's a great play call because they run the football on a third down and about 8. They have a great running game, but it's also got LVC out of their lanes. Now that they get this, now you need to stop here on third down.
Steve Dominoski called for that infraction.
Left tackle, returning starter for this team. A veteran offensive line and a big offensive line.
Now it's a third down, about 19. Krivda in the pocket, throwing again down the middle, incomplete. Ooh, there was some contact before that ball got down to Price, but no flag thrown.
They can be upset about pass interference, but Spencer Moser went up for the ball at the same time Price did, and I think that's one of those bang-bang plays where the ball was so far overthrown that they pretty much gave benefit of the doubt to the defender, the fact that the receiver went up for that ball same time the defender did. Even if he was a little bit early, it wasn't a catchable ball.
Fourth down. Punt unit in. That Racksack. And they'll go for the fake to the far side. Incomplete.
Wow.
I don't understand why they're calling that. They're up 21-0.
That would still be why they're doing that, because if you're going to call something like that, at least it's not going to hurt you up 21-0.
But even when you're trying that play, you're not even aiming for a first down, even though you think you're going to get outside and get a lot of room to run, but wasn't even close.
They thought they had seen something, obviously, in LVC, that they could pull that one off. They were sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
That was about as woeful a fake punt as I think we've seen in quite some time.
Uh-huh. First down for LVC. They'll take over their own 39.
Can I just throw the ball?
Well,
I can say it. It's not going to happen.
Peroni's under center with backs in the eye. He'll roll to the left side. Looking, now stops, looks to run, gets up to the 40 and dives up to the 45. He'll pick up about 6 or 7 on the carry.
The reason I'm asking for it too, John, is because one of the guys that we know has established themselves on this LVC team as a playmaker is Tim Peroni. And it's not just with his arm as a quarterback, it's with his legs, and it's with his decision-making. And he gets out on the edge. There's a lot of traffic over there. He's got to pick his way through, but does a very good job of getting something out of not much there and picking up 7 yards.
Slot to the near side, backs in the eye, second down, and a long three. At his own 46-yard line. He'll go to Irving up the middle, bounces it to the right side, up close to the 50-yard line, and has the first down for LVC.
You know, in little steps is what this offense needs at this point. A first down here, a sustained drive. You know, start building on things. There was nothing in the first half to be able to build on, but this is where this offense can start maturing, start getting better. A good run here, maybe a successful pass there, but you need some sort of sustained work on the offensive end, and maybe that first down goes a long way to getting us there.
At the 49 of Widener, Peroni play action again, going to the left, looking, throws the out. Berberick, the tight end, gets the first, still driving along the sideline and knocked out at the 37 of Widener. Berberick, the tight end, comes up with a reception and another first down for LVC. How crucial is this drive to get a score on the board and all of a sudden get a little confidence, get a little injection of emotion and sustainability out there for LVC?
For this game to try to win it, I think it's vital. If you're just looking at trying to build as a team, I think these two first downs are already a good step.
Peroni rolling to the right, gets crushed over at the 40. Yard line. Oh, he took a punishing hit from Steve Gozer.
A little high on the hit, too. Fortunately for Gozer, he was able to get it down low enough that he hit the shoulder pads of Peroni. But
those hands, I think, are hurt.
That was dangerously close that time, John, to targeting. It doesn't help Gozer either that Peroni is not the tallest guy out there. So when he takes a shot like that, it looks like it's a little higher than it could have been.
Second down, 13 this time. Up the middle, they'll go to Fink. Drives inside the 40 to the 35, making the 34-yard line a gain of 6.
And remember, we already had Jordan Powell of Widener thrown out in the first half for targeting very early in this game. So it's not like the officials aren't looking for that sort of thing. Now you have third down, and this is actually a very good shovel pass, draw, screen down, because you're going to go for it anyways on fourth down if you don't make it.
Wide right and left, backs in the eye, third down and 7 at the 34. Peroni rolling to the left, looking, throwing upfield, looking for Saylor, and it's picked off around the 12-yard line and back the other way. It's returned by Widener. A few more yards by Justin Hardy as he gets up across the 21 to the 22-yard line.
Hardy's second pick of the year, but I'm going to take a little bit of the blame off the quarterback on that one. Travis Saylor has got to come back for that.
You got to come back, yeah.
He's standing there waiting for the ball to get to him, and he's got a defender right on his hip. You know the defender's going to break for the ball. Work back for your quarterback. And that ball had to be thrown a little bit lighter because he's rolling to his left. He's trying to square his shoulders, trying to get something on it. If you're Travis Saylor, you're a senior, you've got to come back for that football.
First down, Widener still with a 21-0 lead. They're going to hand it off up the middle. It's going to be Harrell again. He'll get up across the 30, up to the 32. He'll be about a yard shy of the first down.
Yeah, we go back to that play, too. And this is where you're saying at this point, too, you're looking for playmakers. And Travis Saylor on the season has been a very good playmaker for this team when he's gotten a chance to make plays. But in the passing game, it hasn't happened very often. Now, for the first time you've been targeted, you got to make that play. If nothing else, knock it away.
Second down, deep throw down the far sideline, complete to Hicks Taylor. He has the first down and out of bounds near the 20, make it the 30-yard line.
And Moser is not coming up 100% after that play. He's trying to shake something off, and they continue to attack the deep outside against these corners. Depth being tested without Nick Tucker today.
Widener at the 30. They waste no time on offense, and Kribda's just going to keep it on the busted play and gets to the 26 of LVC. Clock counting at 8:13 here in the third. 21-0 Widener.
Yeah, the interception, though, the positive that the offense gets, if you end up having to punt the ball on that drive, even though you got a couple first downs, it doesn't deflate you the way that the turnover does. And what happens right out of the turnover? A couple big plays from Widener offensively to move the ball right down into LVC territory.
Second down and 7. They're going to just give it off to Sapp. Coming across in motion, gets to the 20, the 15, and tackled around the 13, making the 12-yard line another first down.
Yeah, Spencer Moser makes the tackle on the play.
Sapp was just moving in motion from that left side, and Kribda just got the snap, just kind of lobbed it forward to him.
It's one of those play calls in the spread formation that's becoming more and more popular, which is the snap to the quarterback, and they just sort of drop the ball to the guy on the jet sweep instead of handing the ball off.
First down and 10. This time it's Randall trying to take it up the middle, gets stacked up and then pushed back. I don't know. Would that have been considered a pass then?
Yeah, it's a pass.
Sapp was just a yard in front of him. It didn't matter. So.
It's another way for these spread formations, too, to just add to their passing numbers. Uh-huh. So from a statistical standpoint, I think what you're doing is you're also taking that, having to show and really work a wide receiver and teach them how to receive a handoff. You take that out. They're not used to it anyways, and you just have them grab the ball like they usually do when they're receiving the ball. A little bit more comfort.
Second and 9 at the 13 of LVC. They'll do the same thing again, coming back the opposite way to Hicks Taylor, trying to get around the outside, not able to do so. Maybe gets a yard out of it. But all it is just a, Kribda back there in the shotgun, gets a snap and just kind of gets it to his hands and then pushes it forward on a little lob, and whoever's cutting across on the in motion gets it as a pass.
It also might explain why he's a 59% passer on the season, too. You throw 5 of those in there a game,
yes.
All of a sudden it really improves your numbers quite a bit.
Now they'll mark it just inside the 12-yard line. It is a third down and 7. Trips to the right. Split on the left side with Price. He'll throw a short one over by the 7-yard line. Complete. Not enough for the first down, though.
But enough to get them in a comfortable field goal range if they want to. But it does look
Wilson,
like,
by the way.
They have no interest in that. That's a great throw, too, from Kribda as far as where that ball had to be thrown. We've talked about his inaccuracy at times. That time, threw the ball low, away from the defender, only place where the offensive player could make sure he caught the ball.
Fourth and 3 at the 7. This time they'll go up the middle, Randall, and he'll grind it out inside the 5. Does he have enough for the first? It's going to be close.
I'm going to venture to say they're going to have to measure this one, John.
Chris Randall, very close, just inside the 5, near the 4.
He put his head down and tried to drive forward. And at the very last moment, LVC defensively, and Dylan Lobach was one of the main guys in there, they were able to knock him and make him go laterally. I think they may have stopped him here.
5:39 to go in the third, 21-0.
Hey, you need a positive spot on homecoming anyways.
Yeah, you sure do. And the LVC's defense thinks it's not enough. They'll stretch out the chains, and it is stopped.
Stopped him. Good job.
Bend don't break. LVC's defense stops the pride, and they'll get the football back at their own 5-yard line.
And remember,
21-0.
This is the defense so far in this game that has given up only 14 points through two quarters and almost 10 minutes. Yeah, bend don't break here, but still, they've only given up 14 points. But the last 2 weeks, the offense has thrown goose eggs up on the board. And obviously, that will not win football games. At some point offensively, you have to get something.
First down and 10, LVC. Peroni from his own 5-yard line. He'll hand it off to the second back, Irving, and he'll spin his way
Salerno
up across the five. Check that, Salerno up to the 7. Let's see what they give him. We'll call close to the 7. We've seen Salerno the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Getting some action. Now he'll come off.
The injured John Jones still out of action this week, and so Salerno is in that 3-man rotation that they use. Who's those cards on the sideline, John? You got Burt, Carrot Head, and a Cone Head.
Second down and a long 7. They're going to Fink, stretching out to the right side, cuts it back at the 10, 15, and he gets tripped up out near the 20, but a first down for Ryan Fink.
Yeah, good vision from Fink on the play, too. That play is a stretch play to the outside. They're looking to get to the edge, and Fink all of a sudden, as he's going out there, sees that that's not going to be there anymore, and there was over-pursuit from this fast defense. He cuts it right back to the inside and sees a hole. Great gain from Ryan Fink. I believe that may be our largest gain of the
15.
Game on the ground.
Yeah, 15 on a pickup up to the 22. Peroni back to pass. Rolling right, looking, throwing near sideline and incomplete. Well under throwing out, looking for Wise.
Wise did not have separation. And
no.
I'm not going to say that was a horrible throw from Peroni, considering he tries to throw that ball in there to Wise. Maybe that gets picked off. There's good coverage on the play. And Wise just wasn't able to get separated from his defender as he ran his route.
4:27 in the third. 21-0 Widener. LVC with a 2nd and 10 from its own 22. They'll go with Gavel and Wise on that left side in the slot. Now Gavel goes in motion, backs in the eye, Peroni under center. He'll play action to the left side, looking, throws. Wise can't hold on, incomplete.
That's a well-thrown ball, too, from Peroni. That's a play that they need to make when the offense is struggling. And it was an excellent play fake, too. You had two linemen, the two left-side linemen, the tackle and the guard, pulling to the right side. And where does the quarterback go? He's actually rolling where they vacated, to the left side. But it fooled the defensive end on that side, Byron Cooper, where he ran right by Peroni and gave him a passing lane.
Peroni in the shotgun on 3rd down and 10 with a slot to the left side. Peroni wants to do the quarterback draw, has nowhere to go. He'll get a yard or two. He almost got stopped in the backfield. Now he got a little brouhaha working out there near the tackle of the play. And a couple bodies pushing and shoving and flags thrown.
I thought that Cooper was offside on the play, too. They did not catch him.
4:12 to go here in the third. A 4th down was coming up for LVC, but who knows?
All depends what happens. It's going to be offsetting penalties. I mean, you had both teams scrapping in there. So whatever happened, happened, and the officials will take the easy way out.
So it is Gavel.
And Kenny Watson, the defensive back for Widener.
Well, we are off next week, folks. It's a bye week for LVC, and then we are back with you in a couple Saturdays with Misericordia.
You can actually make the case that the LVC offense has been off for the last 2 weeks.
Sure have been.
We hope that they can be found at least by the end of this game, but if not, over that bye week.
Moser to punt. High punt down the near seam. Wilson calls for the fair catch and makes it at the 37. And Widener's offense back out onto the field with a 21-0 lead and 3:57 to play here in the third, and homecoming in Anvil.
What'd you say the next game was?
2 weeks.
Lycoming.
What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry.
The next
home
game.
Lycoming.
The next home game.
The next home game is Misericordia. I'm sorry. Up in Williamsport.
I had a whole day planned out in Williamsport.
Oh, you did, huh?
You're going to ruin things and send me to Misericordia. I was not relishing that.
Here's Sapp in motion, but they're going to hand it off to the left side. And a big hole there for Hicks Taylor getting outside and across midfield to the 47 of LVC. Make it the 46-yard line.
Hicks Taylor coming into this game had 13 carries total for 78 yards. They're showing the versatility of the guys in this offense and the way that they have used this spread with different guys. Sapp can run. Hicks Taylor can run. You've got Hayden Warren, who's a good blocker, who's back in there in the game.
First down and 10. They'll go again back to the left side, and it'll be a gain of another 7 or 8 this time. It'll be Dante Harrell picking up 9 to the 37.
A disheartened defense on the last two plays.
Just
getting blown off the ball as the offense continues not to be able to do anything. I will say the offense has been a little bit better here in the second half. They've gotten a few first downs. Haven't completely sustained anything, but at least it's been a little bit better.
Second and 1 at the 37. Montrell Hicks Taylor back there. He'll get the handoff to the right side, gets out around the far side, and looks to come back the other way, and he gets leveled. He did not get enough for the first flags thrown. We'll probably have a hold also.
Yeah, it definitely was a hold because Tom Gallagher, the co-captain and junior outside linebacker, was getting grabbed the hold of.
So it is the hold against Widener and
Varek, the right tackle. And you got a big guy out there, 6'4", 345 pounds. But when you've got that much size, sometimes you don't have the speed, especially to keep up with the quicker linebackers. He had to try to get to the edge, and when Gallagher ran by him, he just grabbed a hold of him on the way by, and the official saw it.
2:40 to go in the third. Now they'll mark it back. It will be a second down and 11 at the LVC 47.
I will not tell you how many times the officials on any play don't call a lot of those that go on, though.
Krivda shotgun. He has Randall back there with him. He's going to throw to the left. It is complete, getting out to Price. He'll go out of bounds near the 38 and still shy of the first down, but now it's a third down and 2.
And they had cushion on the play because of how many times that they've been running by LVC in coverage. So Moser giving a little bit more room on that side and allowed the pass underneath. As you said, not enough for the first down, but this is very makeable, and we've seen Widener, as far as they're concerned, this is probably four down territory anyways.
Third and 2. Slot to the right side. Handoff. Randall has the first. Pounds his way inside the 35 to the 33. Just put that head down, and he was off.
Kyle Murray paid the price for going in and sticking his head in. That's what safeties do. Every game, your safeties have to worry about deep coverage. They have to worry about run support. They're all over the place. Maybe do as much running as anybody.
At the 33, it's going to be Randall again, trying to take it to the left side. Breaks one tackle at the 30 and dives near the 25-yard line, just shy of the first.
Guy Zimmerman got close to him going around the edge, but just couldn't bring him down. Reached out for him. Would have probably been called for a horse collar if he ended up being able to make the tackle from where he was. But there was nobody else on that side able to come over. Something you see, John, with teams that have linebackers that are not making a lot of tackles means they're getting caught up in the wash somewhere.
Second and 1. Randall again has the first as he dives to the 22-yard line.
Gallagher makes the stop there, but he's a guy who this year, I think we expected Gallagher, we're expecting Garner to have huge tackle numbers, and they're not even first or second on the team. And that is an indictment right now of the fact that they're not getting clean areas to be able to make plays. They are getting blocked a lot of times by those offensive linemen who are able to get to the second level.
First and 10 of the 22 of LVC. Handoff right side. This time it's Brown jumping through the line and able to get a few inside the 20 to the 18. Give him four.
That's no small running back, you. John.
No.
230 pounds of running back leaping over top of a diving Alex Trujillo.
They're going to let the clock tick down. We have played three quarters here in homecoming in Anvil. After three, it's still Widener 21. LVC nothing. Back with the fourth and 60 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. It's Christmas at the Valley on Sunday, December the 4th. Come back for this time-treasured holiday tradition as LVC celebrates the joys of the season. Performances on Sunday, December 4th at Miller Chapel, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. It's Christmas at the Valley, Sunday, December 4th. For more information, it's lvc.edu.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present the astonishing truth about exercise in the brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function? Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
Welcome back to Anvil. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy. Widener leading 21-0 as we start the fourth quarter. And the Pride with the football on a second down and six at the 18 of LVC. It's going to be Brown again taking it up the middle, and he will be stacked up the line and pushed back. So no gain on the carry. Brings up a third down for Widener at the 18.
If you're going to win this football game or have any chance to, John, this is a must stop. And we've said this before, though, but you'd have to have the offense automatically just unload all of this frustration in this fourth quarter for the comeback to happen.
Krivda's shotgun. He's going to throw to the left side, and it is complete. Not sure if it's enough for the first. He was able to get it to Stapp.
Not with that spot. Great tackle from Moser. Got him right underneath the shoulder pads, and they're going to hold him shy of the first down.
I really thought Moser was going to step in front and take it because it was thrown a little soft on that far side. But
wasn't there in time, but yeah. They are going to go for the field goal here, which is interesting because this is very out of character from what we've seen so far, unless they're going to run a fake, but I wouldn't expect that. But fourth down and one here. That running game, I'm surprised.
Michael Raczak, 30-yard attempt, far hash. Kick is low. It's got distance, but it's wide left. No good. LVC gets the football back, stops him again.
And the question is, why do you kick there if that's the best you got?
Fourth and one.
Here's the only thing I can come up with. They've tried him kicking a few times this year. Maybe they're checking out what his potential range is, or give him an opportunity, but it's also an indictment of LVC offensively because they're not worried about him scoring right now. So, hey, let's send her a kicker in, see if he can come up with a field goal. And now LVC offense onto the field. Love to see them do something here on this first down. Just try to get a big play, get this big crowd involved, give them something to cheer about.
Peroni in the shotgun, got a slot to the far side. Baxter on the near side. He's going to keep it and run up the middle of the 20. The 25 goes to the far side at the 30 and has the first down at the 31.
I don't care what the play is either. One thing we're seeing, John, Tim Peroni is a playmaker. They know he's a playmaker. They know they have to give him opportunities to touch the football. And this is the opportunity that they're doing right now with him now in at quarterback due to the injury to Tyler Cottle. They're calling plays that play to his strengths, and that is using his feet as much as his arm.
Irving, the deep back behind Lysak. LVC first and 10. Peroni rolling right. Looking, throwing down the sideline, trying to get it to Saylor, but he was out of bounds, incomplete.
Good job by Saylor in coming back for the football on that play and actually selling his defensive back that he was going to go further down the field. So it was a good route run initially by him. Ball just thrown too close to the boundary, couldn't stay in bounds.
Cramp will line up wide on the near side, Sailor on the far side, second and 10 from their own 31. Peroni draw play, Irving up the middle, 35 and tackled up at the 36. It'll be a gain of 5.
Notice the difference now, though. That's a passing down because it's second down and long. A little bit more room. I think the offensive line has done a little bit better here in the second half of actually blocking and sustaining blocks a little bit longer to allow Irving and other runners to pick up a little bit more yardage.
Third and 5, LVC. Still scoreless for them in this game. It's 21-0 Widener.
Can't see them going for it here, though. So this is an important down to try to get any sort of momentum offensively.
Slot right, split left, but Clark out there at tight end. Peroni rolls to the right, looking. Now he's going to run, gets up across or close to the 40. Did he cough up the football? He did not. They're saying he's down. Now a late flag. It looked like the official was going to signal that he did give up the ball, and a little scuffle going on again on the far sideline.
Peroni is a fiery dude, and at 150 pounds, and I don't care what the program says, 150 pounds for Tim Peroni, he's right in the middle of the whole thing.
He needs a couple of linemen to push him back to the huddle. Now the officials will talk about it. He landed right around the 40. He needed to get to the 41. I couldn't tell. It seemed as if the ball had popped out. Maybe they called him down, and then it came loose. And then after that, the scuffle broke out. Now let's see what the officials call it. So LVC, Peroni ran it, 1 yard shy of the first, hit the ground, must have popped out. They called him down, and then Peroni picks up a personal foul.
And I think they would have gone for it there, honestly, John, on fourth down and one or two. I think they would have tried to pick up the first down. They needed something, but
yeah,
Peroni gets hit.
Now they lose the down. And
lose the down because he decides to sort of insert himself there.
Moser to punt for LVC, standing at his own 12-yard line.
It's frustration. Yeah, it's really basically boiling over right now for this offense.
Moser short, end over end, bounces across midfield and dies out right around the 47 of LVC. Or check that, of Widener. And that's where the Pride will start out again with 12:06 to play in the game, 21-0.
Quick updated scoreboard for the MAC. Lycoming maintains a 6-point lead, although both they and FDU Florham have scored in the second half already, as Lycoming up 21-15 on FDU Florham. That's late in the third quarter. And early third, King's College has extended to a 28-14 lead over Misericordia.
Pride offense back out onto the field on a first down. And back to pass. Kribda throwing deep down the far side, but way overlooking Price and incomplete.
Miscommunication.
Second and 10.
Price cut off his route. Moser actually had good position on the play. They didn't read the same thing. Kribda thought he had something long, and Price didn't think it was there.
Brings up second and 10 from their own 47.
Penn State's up on Maryland, too, 31-14.
Oh, wow.
Middle fourth.
Kribda. Hands it off. It's going to be Harrell going to the left side. Gets around the 50. The 45 breaks a tackle on the 40. The 30 hits a man at the 25. Still driving the legs and driven out of bounds inside the 20-yard line. Oh, Dante Harrell's a beast.
The big boy. He's fired up, too. And he should be. I mean,
great run.
Gets down the sideline. And when you're against secondary players, you're going to have a bit of an advantage when you are 6'1", 195 pounds, and you're up against smaller guys. So he just ends up running over the freshman, Brendan Yetter. And after the play, Yetter's helmet popped off.
37 on the carry at the 16 of LVC. Handoff up the middle to Randall. And he will dive inside the 15 to the 14-yard line.
And this is such a change, too. You have a spread formation team that in the past, a year ago, Seth Klein just absolutely ripped up this LVC defense a year ago, throwing for 390 yards in their victory against LVC. This year, it's the ground game that has done a lot of the damage and the fact that they're able to be more balanced offensively.
Second down. Pass on the slant and incomplete. Was looking for Hicks Taylor, and he was open. Cribb to put it there, but he could not hold on. Brings up a third down and eight.
72nd meeting between these two teams all time. 45-24-2 in favor of Widener. Widener's won five in a row, though. Last time LVC won a game in this series was back in 2010, the end of a three-game LVC winning streak, a game they won 42-38.
Cribbed in the pocket, lobs it out near side. He's got Harold caught at the 10, the 5, touchdown. He got rid of it in time. LVC was sending everyone, and Harold with a touchdown of 15 yards.
Well, the cat-and-mouse game did not work out very well for LVC because they bit completely, wanted to send pressure, wanted to get in Krivda's space, and the perfect call on pressure is the screen play. You had two linemen leading Harrell on the play. Neither one of them had to make a block because he was wide open.
Dante Harrell. Here's the extra point. Kick, it's blocked and loose. Recovered, doesn't matter. We'll step out, 10:43 to go in the fourth. It's now Widener 27, LVC nothing back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network. The Wigan Buckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, WiganBuckle.com. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedier, statistician, studio producers, Gary Gruber, John Hirsch, glad to have you along. Homecoming, not doing so good on the football side of things. 27-0, Widener with a lead.
Yeah, but they got the blocked extra point. So Anthony Jenkins was the guy who ends up getting the blocked extra point for LVC. So at least it's only 6 points on the board that time. Dante Harrell's 15-yard touchdown reception from Cribda caps a five-play, 53-yard, 1 minute and 23-second drive.
Kickoff is going to be another low one right down the middle, picked up right at the 10-yard line. Gavel brings it out to the 19-yard line where he gets tripped up. Flying Dutchman offense, Christian, shut out last week. And
Christian Carvis, the tackle there for Widener. Great open field tackle. Yeah,
no points this week either.
The offense is in a complete funk. Uh-huh. And the lack of balance and the predictability of this offense hamstrings it. The fact that you had nobody really step up and take the leadership role at the quarterback position and saying, I am the guy, has hurt this team. The fact that they have not been able to get Brendan Irving on track this season with some nagging injuries to start things off has not helped this team.
First down and 10, Peroni going to roll to the left, feeling the pressure, gets hit, and then throws it out of bounds. Not going to be a grounding at all, but it was close.
They're going to talk about it. But
they had Zimnick downfield about 8-9 yards. So
Berber came off the sideline. Of course, he wasn't in that play.
So an incomplete pass. We noticed Cottle down here on the sideline. He's got the crutches and the big left boot on. That is not good. Second down and 10.
Hopefully precautionary, has 2 weeks to have it heal, but still, yeah, you're right. And we've got a movement. Lee Amoroso, the right tackle, out of his stance early.
So they'll mark it back again with 10:33 to go in the fourth. Not a performance you want in front of your homecoming audience.
Now, we can go back to the stats here, John. The last time LVC was shut out in a game, well, that was last week.
Right.
So now I'm going to have to dig through.
Oh, there
oh,
we
no,
go.
Oh, no, I know about that one.
Okay.
I'm talking about the last time LVC was shut out, two times in a row.
Oh, I see. Now you're really testing Tom Clemmick. Here's a pass. Prony looking for Baxter. He can't hold on. Was getting some pressure, but turned, hit him kind of square in the chest, and popped back out.
I'm actually just trying to find something for myself to do while...
Just while to stay offense, out of misery?
While the offense is on the field.
All right.
There's only so many things I can say at this point, so we're...
All right. Third down and 15, LVC from its own 15.
Baxter went up for that ball, had a chance, but it was a good defensive play that, that knocked that one loose. They just have to find something, someone who's able to step forward on this team. And right now, the wide receivers have not stepped up either, John. They have not helped in the passing game either.
Peroni rolling to the right, has time, looking, now throws upfield high and incomplete. I was looking for Zimnik, but threw in coverage and didn't even put it there. I thought he was just going to tuck it and run it. He had a little room on that right side, but good coverage by Widener. Their defense has been playing tough all game, stopping the run and playing tight on the receivers.
There's a reason this is the number three scoring defense, the number two overall defense in the entire conference, and they're first in the conference in sacks with 17 sacks coming in. So they're going to put pressure on you.
Moser standing back around the two-yard line to punt for LVC. Wilson back to receive. Takes his time. Now he's going to run it. Gets up to the 15. Gets crushed from behind. Loose football. Widener picks it up, and they have it down around the 11-yard line. He was not going to make the first down. And Widener, you could hear the coaches up here as they were lining up, was calling out. They could tell something was a little different on the setup by LVC, but Widener was not fooled and quick to the football, caused the turnover. Now they have it at the 11.
When it rains, it pours, my friend.
Yeah. LVC had really nothing to lose there. Except
what's it matter at that point? I mean, honestly. So, I mean, the fake punt, you know, hey, give something a try at this point.
Wilson goes in motion. Grimton's going to pitch it to Randall. He stumbles and falls down around the 12. He'll lose 1 yard. So it'll bring up a second down and 11. Widener in control, 27-0. Luckily, for the most part, the rain has held out here today.
It has. That's good for the fans.
Fans, a lot of tents the whole way around. You got the party tent down here for the alumni.
Let's face it, too, though, John. You know, homecoming is more than just football.
Right.
It's the atmosphere. It's getting everyone back here. And in that way, this is going to be a successful day in some facet for LVC.
Kribda throws right across the middle. He finds Schlegel. He'll catch it for a gain of a few yards to the 9-yard line. Brings up a third down. I think field hockey here tonight, Tom? Yes. 6 o'clock. Against number one Messiah. That's a big one.
That's a huge one.
Yeah. And last night at the Hall of Fame banquet, I was sitting at a table with a lot of former LVC field hockey alumni and coaches. And I know they're looking forward to this game.
Can any of them explain that game to me?
No.
Confusing game.
Third down, a little slip pass. And again, Schlegel getting it right around the six. And it will bring up a fourth down, and will they try for the field goal again? I'm kind of curious.
I would.
They're unsuccessful earlier.
That's why you do it.
And that's what they're going to do.
By the way, John, I'm back to 2001 in that season. And in that season, LVC was shut out three times, but none of them back-to-back. They were shut out by Lycoming, Albright, and Wilkes that year.
Raxact, try a 23-yard attempt near hash. Kick is on the way, and it is no good, wide to the right side.
Yeah, but we've got a flag here, John, and I think we may have an issue for LVC because the kicker went down after the play.
And I think the Flying Dutchmen are trying to say they were pushed into
which would negate
the kicker.
It would negate things if that's the case.
Yeah. Let's see what we get on this one. Anthony Jenkins is the one stating the case. Well, it's going to go against the Flying Dutchman.
They're saying it's not enough yardage for the first down, so
it'll only move it to what the... that would be pretty doggone close. They move it down. It's good. You might as well bring in the regular offense.
They are.
Pound it down the throat.
John, the last time LVC was shut out, two straight games. Back in 1998, Widener was the first one, 43-0. Wilkes was the second one, 44-0. If you're looking for a trend, the following week after that, they lost to Susquehanna, 48-3.
Trips left, fourth down, throws for the end zone, almost intercepted, incomplete. Flying Dutchman had a chance at it. I think Gilger almost came down with it, so the defense again stopping here.
And honestly, the defense has been all right.
Yeah.
You know, and it is something to build off of when your defense plays adequately. At the college game, if you can hold a team defensively to about 21 points, you should be in any game. And remember that the one interception was returned for a touchdown, so and that's why I'm only mentioning 21 of the 27 points.
Peroni stays in. LVC takes over at its own four-yard line. Peroni rolling right, looking, throwing upfield, and it's intercepted at the 25. Throwing in double, triple coverage, looking for Wise. Wise thought he was interfered with. Doesn't matter.
No, he wasn't interfering.
No, it was just good coverage.
It was good coverage. You had a guy right in front of the play. You had another guy coming from the side, and you had a quarterback who's throwing on the run, trying to make a play, trying to force the ball into coverage, and the ball wobbles on him and doesn't get where he wanted it to go to.
So Widener gets it back once again.
They got 2 weeks to figure out how to throw the football.
Yeah. Well, they've had 5 weeks.
It may end up having to be all hands on deck, and maybe Peroni and Cottle are not the answer, and maybe you go further and deeper on the depth chart. I don't know right now, but right now, they're not a threat to throw the ball.
First and 10. Wilson goes in motion, but the handoff to Randall up the middle, and he'll pick up a few inside the 25. Mark him at the 22. And the clock keeps on ticking at 7:40. I think at this point, fans in attendance hope it keeps on ticking. It's been a rough one offensively for the Flying Dutchman today. But again, idle next week at Lycoming the following weekend, and then back home against Misericordia after that. Wilson again in motion, gets the little push pass, takes it to the left side, the 15, the 10, 5, touchdown, Widener, and Colin Wilson getting that little push pass from the quarterback, Kribda. And Widener puts 6 more on the board.
Short field after short field. There's only so much a defense can do. It's play they've seen before, and just nothing going right at this point in the game for LVC and the home fans. Quiet.
Extra point kick coming up. Raksak boots this one strong and through the middle. Just has a problem when it's a field goal, it seems. We'll step out, 7:17 to go in the fourth, 34-0. Widener leading LVC back in 30 seconds on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy, homecoming at Anvil, but Widener dominating, 34-0.
Yeah, latest touchdown extends the lead once again, and for LVC, they just continue to shoot themselves in the foot offensively. The last touchdown set up by an interception.
Gavel from the 8 up to the 20, the 25 far sideline, 30 and out of bounds around the 33-yard line.
And we are very hopeful that LVC does not get shut out in this game. But if they do, we've already established that the last time that they've been shut out back-to-back times was in 1998. For those people who are looking even beyond that, the last time that they were shut out three times in a row was back to start the 1986 season when Juniata Wilkes and Widener went bang, bang, bang on shutouts, 26-0, 32-0, and 31-0.
Penalty on the kickoff. It's offside on the kickoff, I'm assuming. And
that 1986 team.
They got to mark it up to the 38-yard line.
That 1986 team, John, scored a total of 62 points the entire season. Their high point total, and they won two games.
Yeah.
Their high point total was actually against Uppsala. 14-13 was the win.
First down and 10. Bernie's going to be in a shotgun. Robinson to his left. Slot to the left. He'll roll to the left. Now the shovel pass at the last second. And no go for Irving, who's immediately taken down.
A freshman on that team that year, too, in 1996, John? Rick Beard.
Oh, good point.
LVC.
The athletic director here at LVC.
Indeed.
That shovel pass was his first completion for Peroni.
Well,
we'll check that out. Second and nine.
I think Steve's falling asleep.
Quick pass. It's a lateral. That's a loose ball on the far side. They're calling it incomplete.
It's not a lateral.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, you're wrong. That ball was thrown forward just enough.
Oh, I thought that was just behind him.
Peroni threw the ball with his arm at the 35-yard line. His receiver's at 36.
It doesn't matter where the receiver's at. It matters where the ball goes.
If it's tipped, it does matter.
You thought it was tipped?
Yep.
Okay, I didn't see the tip.
He's 2 for 12.
Man.
2 for 12. Cottle was 2 for 3. Three interceptions between the two of them.
Third and 9. Peroni straight back to pass in the pocket. Throws across the middle. Incomplete. Almost picked off again. Diving for Tyree Nobles.
Time to punt.
Time for a few things.
Yeah.
We're not going to go there.
No. That was a horrible pass.
Yeah, sure was.
I don't even know what he was looking at. There was nothing there.
Mm-mm. This is how the offense has been all day. This is
2 weeks.
Whew.
2 weeks of this.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like this up at Kings. But still, 2 weeks in a row, very good opponents, very good defenses.
Wilson calls for a fair catch, and the ball bounces off his leg as he tries to get out of the way, but he's able to jump back and fall on it.
It's like every other thing today. Any chance there's been for that little glimmer of hope, a little bit of momentum or something positive to happen for LVC, and they're the last ones to the ball.
6:19 to go. 34-0 Widener. Had a lot of alumni cheerleaders out here today, a lot of alumni band members participating. Great to see them come back.
You got to remember one other thing, too, John, and we'll talk about that after this play.
Krivda, again, just lobbing it forward to Wilson, trying to get around almost on a jet sweep type play, but he's going to lose a few back to the 20.
It's that same play they've been running, but Austin McGuire was ready for that one. Makes a stop for a loss. One of the things about Peroni, too, let's remember, this is a guy who this week in practice had to learn the defensive side of the ball because they were going to work him in at defensive back. They were working him in at wide receiver, at kick returns. So they've used him a lot of different places this week, and he's had a lot of things thrown at him. That might explain why he's not really in sync right now throwing the football.
Krivda in the pocket now flushed out to the left side. Will run into the far sideline, 25, gets a block, goes out of bounds around the 28, make it the 29, close to the 30.
McGaughey.
Ah,
McGaughey, the quarterback.
Yeah, he's
now
in there now. All right. So Nagaki, the new quarterback out of Maryland, just a freshman. Third down and four. Gawkey's going to hand it off. There's Randall. Big hole. Picks up the first across the 35 up to the 37.
And McGaughy, definitely the heir apparent on this team, too. And you got a freshman who's number two on the depth chart. You got a senior who's the starting quarterback. And with a spread formation, it's tough enough for a lot of young quarterbacks, if you haven't run the spread in the high school game, to pick this offense up the way that you need to in order to be able to read the defenses to run the spread effectively.
First and 10. McGaughy's going to throw the out pass near side. Incomplete. Well, double coverage to the near side.
That's by really
LBC.
Nice play. Cody Davis, junior out of West Grove, just recently been elevated on the depth chart for LVC due to some injuries to both Nick Tucker and Ben Petrie. And now all of a sudden, Cody Davis is getting his opportunity to see some more snaps. And it's a good break on the football.
He was looking for Thatcher on that, second and 10. Trips to the near side, split on the far side. He'll throw this time far side, but way too high. Incomplete. Intended for Gillespie, and it will bring up a third down and 10 for Widener from their own 37. Trips again on the near side, and I'll put Gillespie on the far side. McGaughy with Randall behind him in the shotgun there, and he'll stay in the pocket. Lobs it for Randall, tries to cut it up, but immediately tackled around the 35-yard line.
That's a good series for Austin McGuire, as he made a good play earlier in this series, and now he makes another great play reading that little dump-off screen. That's intended to be right in the place where he vacates when he's rushing the passer, peels off of his pass rush in time to make the tackle from behind.
Fourth down, punting unit in. Raczak comes out standing at the 26. Boots this one high. Fair catch called for. And Schumacher will catch it. And he was somewhat interfered with and not given enough space on the reception. So the flag's thrown. They'll get a little more out of this for LVC.
Yeah, I think you could probably see a similar sort of play to what Schumacher just did, maybe on the LVC soccer field. That's a pretty good sell job from Schumacher.
Cooper was right in his face, though.
Oh, no. He definitely contacted him, but not to the point where he knocked him backwards.
So the 15-yard penalty will move it up.
When Schumacher gets smacked on a return dead on, he doesn't fly that far back. Gains you 15 yards, though.
And they'll mark it all the way up to the 39-yard line. 3:59 to go. 34-0, Widener in control.
Something tells me we're going to get a couple runs by Irving here.
Irving is the deep back, wide right and left. Robinson's in front of him, Peroni under center. They'll give it to Irving, stretching it out to the left side. Breaks one tackle up to the 40, 45, and across midfield and knocked out of bounds. A first down for Brendan Irving at the 48 of Widener.
And the reason I'm saying that, one, you've got a quarterback who's 2 for 13 throwing the football. Number two, Brendan Irving, at least from a numbers standpoint, this is where you can maybe get him some of those postseason sort of numbers and pad his stats, because it's been a rough day for him before that carry.
LVC goes to the hurry up. Kind of surprised they didn't try that earlier to see if they could do something. Irving with a handoff, breaks one tackle at the 45, the 40, and tackled at the 39, a gain of 9.
That'd be a very upset linebacker for Widener in Christian Carvis, a freshman who comes up the field and finds out what it's like to be juked by one of the best running backs in the conference in senior Brendan Irving. Quick step to the side, and Carvis was by him. And Irving has another nice gain of 9 yards. 65 yards rushing on 21 carries now.
Second and one at the 39 of Widener. They'll go again. Irving up the middle. Looks to go right, then left. Spun forward. Has the first 34-yard line of Widener with 2:55 to go. They'll move the chains once again. LVC's lining up, but still not going very fast at the line. In the no huddle with a wide right left, backs in the eye. Kearney, Irving, right side, cuts it at the 35 and dives to the 32. Gain of only about two or three.
It's been four straight carries now for Brendan Irving. Came into this game a little behind the pace needed if he's going to have his third straight 1,000-yard season. Irving, 365 yards rushing coming into this game. These carries so far, 435 with just four games left.
Peroni, play action, rolling right. Second and eight, looking. Now throws upfield, looking for Saylor. Incomplete. And no flags thrown.
And there should have been because he was interfered with. There was early contact on the play, but so many times. How many times you see, John, when you got a score like you do here where one team's blowing out the other team, the referees at that point sort of say, let's get out of here, and anything that's not egregious, they're not going to call. There was definitely early contact on the play. Saylor never had a chance to make the reception because he was already getting hit before the ball got there.
2:01 to go in the fourth. Third down and eight.
Everybody else has to work the full 60. The referee should too.
Peroni rolling left, looking, throwing. Zimnick complete, 15-yard line. It's a first down.
Great elevation from Zimnick, and for one of the first times we see a frozen rope out there from Tim Peroni being able to find his man, and Zimnick has LVC in the red zone for the first time here today.
1:51 to go and counting.
Yeah. Band's still in it.
Backs in the eye, slot to the right side. Peroni handing off left side. It's going to be Irving diving to the 13-yard line.
They haven't had many times to play, so I forgot that they were over there. But they
trying to get some points on and stop at least the shutout.
Give something to this crowd right now. Be interested if they don't make it on a third down, if they would kick a field goal just to get the goose egg off the board.
Second down and nine at the 13. Peroni up the middle again. Irving, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide as he gets wrapped up at the line of scrimmage.
He was losing that football, too, as he got closer to the line of scrimmage and then ran right into the arms of Brandon Nowinski, the 265 defensive lineman.
Third down and nine. Clock ticking away at 53 seconds. Taking a long time to get the signal from the sideline. Peroni in the shotgun. Fink to his right, slot right, Wise to the left. At the 13 of Widener, Peroni's going to roll to the right. Looking, throwing for the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Saylor. And LVC is on the board. A late game consolation.
There you go. And it's something for this crowd to. And look at the response, too, John. You're seeing very positive response from this very loyal fan base as they get the touchdown late. Ball thrown to a receiver who Saylor goes straight down the field, stutters a little bit, then goes back into the end zone, gets positioned behind the defensive back, ball thrown in a place where Saylor can make the catch, and he goes up and gets it for the first score for LVC since week three.
Travis Saylor.
Week four, excuse me.
With the touchdown reception for LVC. Saylor's first touchdown of the season. And that's kind of surprising because we kind of thought he'd have a few at this point of the season.
Well, it's kind of hard to get receiving touchdowns when you don't have passing.
Yeah. No, that passing game's not working for you. And for those of you tuned in late, Tyler Cottle injured in the first half of this game with a lower left either ankle or foot injury and has not been back since. It has been Tim Peroni. Cottle had a pick six in this one early on. And both quarterbacks have been picked off. And LVC is going to go for two.
Go for two.
Okay. Now put gavel in motion.
Quarterback sneak, probably.
Peroni back there all alone in the shotgun. Looks left. Throws. And it's incomplete. Was looking for the far corner, and Cowboy hadn't even turned yet and started looking over his shoulder, and the ball was already ahead of him and going by. And
felt a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a start, though, John, and that's really what this team is in need of, a start. Just some sort of thing to get them going. And if nothing else now, you go into the bye week knowing that your offense was capable of moving the ball down the field and scoring some points. Very little consolation, you would think, but as a coaching staff, now you have to spin this in a different way. Yeah, we didn't win, but we had our moments now. And look, we were able to score at the end of the game. We didn't give up. So there's some things to carry into the next week. And I think that's what this team, if they're going to have a successful second half of the season, and with Lycoming, Misericordia, and FDU Forum, the three games that are coming up next, those are all three teams that, you know, they are not having the greatest of seasons either. You got Albright last. That's a little bit more of an ask at this point, but it's also a rivalry game, so you never know what's going to happen. But you still have those three next games that you're looking at maybe building up some momentum before you hit that Albright game and maybe making something out of the end of the season.
34-6, our score with 34 seconds to go in this homecoming football game. Good reminder, field hockey playing here tonight. We'll come out and see Flying Dutchman taking on the number one team in the country in Messiah. Kickoff, right to left. Benz had one early in this game, booted it back toward the end zone. He boots this one down the left, takes a couple bounces, rolls inside the 5, has to be picked up at the 3, and Randall looks to run it back at the 10, the 20, and tackled up at the 22-yard line.
And no reason, and a lot of fans might think at that point, well, why don't you kick it onside? What does that accomplish at
right,
this point?
Yeah.
You're not coming back in this game. You actually accomplished what you wanted out of that last drive. You got points on the board. You prevent the back-to-back shutouts. You know, mission accomplished, and let's take this one out. At some point, you have to understand when a violent play like a kick, an onside kick can be, is not a positive thing for your team. It wasn't necessary in that case.
Widener's going to take the knee, and that's all they'll have to do. This game will end with a homecoming loss for LVC. Final score, Widener 34, Lebanon Valley College 6. We invite you to stay tuned for the post-game show coming up in 3 minutes on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
The LVC Blue and White Club provides annual support for Dutchman Athletics through gifts to the Blue and White Club. Alumni, parents, and friends of Lebanon Valley College play a role in the support and enhancement of the student-athlete experience. Show your Dutchman pride and contribute to the Blue and White Club. For more information, contact Lebanon Valley College about your support of the Blue and White Club.
LVC winter sports are just around the corner. Men's and women's basketball home games get underway with the Renzo Marquette Tournament on October 18th, 19th, and 20th. Men's ice hockey hits the Hershey Park Arena October 29th, and women's ice hockey will face Utica November 1st. For schedules and information, check out GoDutchman.com.
The Suzanne H. Arnold Art Gallery at LVC presents An American Century at the Movies, now through October 16th. Drawing from Dr. Stefan P. Krasuski's vast collection of vintage film posters, this exhibition seeks to examine the broad topics of war, race, gender, sexuality, adventure, and romance as they are represented in individual films. For more information, go to lvc.edu/gallery.
The Vernon and Doris Bishop Library serves as the academic center for Lebanon Valley College. Containing over 215,000 books, CDs, DVDs, and microfilm, the library also features an online library catalog, wireless access to the campus network, study rooms, and more. The library, with certain restrictions, may be used by all LVC alumni and anyone residing in a 170 zip code. Their hours during the regular fall semester are Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to midnight, Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, noon to midnight. More information at lvc.edu.
It's a day at the Valley. LVC welcomes potential students to the campus for an opportunity to attend classes and shadow a current student.
Academic information sessions and campus tours will be offered. Parents are also encouraged to attend. Day at the Valley will take place on Friday, October 28th from 8 to 1 and Friday, November 11th from 8 to 1. For more information or to register, go to lvc.edu and click on the Schedule a Visit to Campus link.
Did you know there are more than 16,000 LVC alumni living around the globe? Valley graduates call 35 foreign countries their home and have settled in 50 states, plus the District of Columbia here in the U.S. LVC alumni are encouraged to become part of the Career Connections Experience, an online mentoring program that provides students and recent graduates an opportunity to tap into the LVC Global Network for exploration, networking, and mentoring. For more information, call the alumni office at 867-6321.
And welcome back here to Arnold Field. Homecoming 2016 ends unsuccessfully for the home team for Lebanon Valley. They lose at the hands of Widener 34-6. They do get the consolation score, though, at the end of the game. So at least on the plus side for the team, they do not get shut out in this one. Let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard as we've got a couple of games going on right now as we wait for John Welsbach to talk to Coach Beeler down on the field. FDU Florham and Lycoming. It is a 21-21 all game, but FDU Florham has a first and goal on the Lycoming 3 with a minute 24 left to go in that one. So it is possible that FDU Florham could knock off Lycoming at home as they run for no gain in Lycoming having to use their timeouts defensively. And the other game going on in the conference right now, King's College, with about 13 minutes left to go against Misericordia, has a 42-28 lead in that contest. Let's recap the scoring in this game, that is, if we can. Let's pull that up quickly. The first score of the game was a pick six as Steve Gozer took an interception return 41 yards for a touchdown. That was with 8:46 left to go in the first quarter. 7-0 Widener. That was followed by a Montrell Hicks Taylor 2-yard touchdown run. It's a 14-0 lead for Widener with 14:33 left to go in the first half. Chris Randall, a 3-yard touchdown run. As Chris Randall ran it in from 3 yards out. That was with 6:07 left to go in the first half. And gave us a halftime score of 21-0. No scoring in the second half until the fourth quarter. Alex Krivda hit Dante Harrell with a 15-yard touchdown pass on a screen with 10:43 left to go in the fourth quarter. That made it 27-0 as the extra point was blocked. Krivda then would throw another touchdown pass to Colin Wilson of 23 yards. That was with 7:14 left to go in the fourth quarter. But with 34 seconds left to go, LVC would get on the board. Tim Peroni, a 13-yard touchdown pass to Travis Saylor. That capped a 9-play, 76-yard, 3-minute, 25-second drive. LVC went for two. That was unsuccessful, but a 34-6 victory for Widener as LBC avoids being shut out for the second straight week after getting goose-egged by Delaware Valley a week ago. We are going to not at this point. Oh, Misericordia has just scored on Kings. That is a 42-35 game. And let's go down on the field. Let's go down to John.
He's still tall.
Never mind. I was trying to go to John, and apparently he's not quite ready. So it gives us a chance to say that FDU Florham is down at the 1-yard line for Lycoming with 30 seconds left to go. Let's go down the field to John.
All right, thanks, Brian. Joe Beeler, bye week coming up next week. How important is it now to kind of reassess everyone and everything and try to get things back to basics in 2 weeks?
Yeah, we're going to stay on track. We're going to work real hard in practice and work hard to make the corrections that we're still making mistakes on both sides of the ball in costly situations. And there's no as I've said each week here, there's not a magic answer to this. There's a lot of areas that need to improve, and that's on me. It's my responsibility to get it to be better.
But you knew Widener's defense was good going into this game, but did you really expect your offense not to be able to get anything going on them?
No, it was tough. This week, we had a plan. We knew what they were doing, and Tyler got the start, and he took all the reps in practice. Tim Peroni actually took most of his reps on defense because of the injury to Nick Tucker. We were concerned about our lack of depth at the corner position, guys that have not played a lot of varsity football, and felt like Tim, because of his athleticism, could do that for us. So when he was forced into action there with the injury, that really was tough for him. So we really had to go back and run the stuff that he knew how to run. Couldn't do the stuff that we'd put in this week that we thought would be effective against Widener's based on the fact that they played so much man-to-man defense.
With that two-week break, what is probably the number one priority for you to get things established and set for the rest of the season with these guys?
Yeah, we're going to stay on track. We practice well, and we're going to continue to do that and focus on the mistakes that we're making to make those corrections. And, right now everyone has doubt. There's a lot of doubt in their abilities, and I think you see it at times on both sides of the ball, guys not making plays that maybe they could make defensively, and on offense maybe trying too hard to do something and then making a mistake. And we just have to keep working on the fundamentals of football. As I told the kids at halftime, and we played better in the second half. Still not where we need to be, but we played better. But football is still about blocking and tackling and assignment. And if you don't block, then it doesn't matter who you have in the backfield. And if you don't tackle, it doesn't matter who they have in the backfield. And if you don't do your assignment, bad things happen to you. So we've got to really force our guys to believe that and work hard to continue to do their job.
We'll see you in Laco in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Joe Beeler, back up to you, Brian.
Thank you very much, John. And just going back to the scoreboard very quickly, FDU Florham defeats Lycoming, a 19-yard field goal from Majewski as time expires for the Devils. So they move to 2-3. We'll see them in about 4 weeks, I believe it is. We'll see Lycoming in the next game. They drop to 2-4, and we'll see them in 2 weeks after LVC's break. We're going to step out one final break, a two-minute break for our stations. And when we come back, we'll run the final statistics of this one and give it a final wrap on homecoming 2016. Widener defeats Lebanon Valley College 34-6. Back in 2 minutes on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
It's Christmas at the Valley on Sunday, December the 4th. Come back for this time-treasured holiday tradition as LVC celebrates the joys of the season. Performances on Sunday, December 4th at Miller Chapel, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. It's Christmas at the Valley, Sunday, December 4th. For more information, it's lvc.edu.
This year's LVC Colloquium Series is called Memory. On Thursday, October 27th, Professor Wendy Suzuki will present the astonishing truth about exercise in the brain at Zimmerman Hall. How does exercise change your brain function? Did you know that even a single aerobic exercise session can change the neurochemistry of your brain and improve mood and attention? The presentation will take place at 6 p.m. For more information, check out the colloquium page at lvc.edu.
The Wig and Buckle Theater at LVC is back in action with Kiss Me, Kate. You're sure to enjoy your night in the theater as this comedic musical unfolds before your eyes. Set in the 1940s, Kiss Me, Kate is about a cast putting on a new musical version of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. However, their opening night begins with a few obstacles. Kiss Me, Kate begins at the Leedy Theater on Friday, October 28th. For more information, wigandbuckle.com.
Lebanon Valley College rewards high school achievement with their presidential scholarships. Scholarships are known for being generous and straightforward and are renewable for 4 years if you continue to earn strong grades at LVC. High school seniors can earn guaranteed presidential scholarships worth up to $17,450 this academic year if you are ranked in the top 30% of your class. Visit www.lvc.edu/calculate to determine your potential scholarship and find out about other LVC scholarships and financial aid.
And welcome back one final time here to Arnold Field. Widener beats Lebanon Valley 34-6 in this game. Let's look at our statistics from this one. Widener out first downs, LVC 19-14, out rushes them 223-115, and out passes them 266-67 in the game. That is total offense advantage of 489 yards to 182 yards in favor of Widener. LVC also turning the football over four times in this game compared to none for their opponents. Penalties, LVC, in that regard, only had four for 24 yards, where Widener had a few more than that. And LVC, 3 for 14 on third downs. Widener was 7 for 16 on those same opportunities. Possession, though, was pretty even between the two teams. Looking at the individual statistics of this one for LVC, Brendan Irving, 25 carries for 73 yards. Ryan Fink, 4 carries for 22 yards. Tim Peroni, 6 carries for 20 yards. Evan Lysak, 1 for 4. Steve Salerno, 1 for 2. Spencer Moser, 1 for no gain. And Tyler Cottle, 2 for minus 6. Passing the ball, Tim Peroni, 4 for 16. 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Throw for a total of 45 yards. Tyler Cottle was 2 for 3 before getting injured, 22 yards, and was intercepted one time. Brendan Irving, the leading receiver, the only guy with more than one catch. He had two of them for 21 yards. Kyle Zimnick, a catch for 18 on the last drive. Travis Saylor, a catch for 13, and a touchdown on the final drive. Dylan Berberick, a catch for 12. Trey Manning, a catch for 3. Defensively for LVC, who else would lead this team in tackles but Spencer Moser and Kyle Murray, the two leading tacklers on this team, also 8 apiece here today. The only other key stats defensively, Guy Zimmerman and Ryan Johnson combined on a sack, so they each get a half for that. And Anthony Jenkins blocked an extra point in the game. Looking quickly at Widener, Harrell, 16 carries, 120 yards. Randall, 12 carries for 38 yards and a touchdown. Hicks Taylor, 7 carries for 32 yards and a touchdown. Krivda, 3 for 20. Magaki, 3 for 9. Brown, 2 for 4. Krivda was 18 of 29 for 269 yards and 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. For a guy who came into this game with 2 touchdown passes and 9 interceptions, that's an excellent line in terms of his passing. Magaki was 2 for 4 for minus 3. And Wilson threw a pass on a fake punt attempt that was incomplete. Price, 3 catches for 67 yards to lead the way. Hicks Taylor, 4 for 53. Schlegel, 4 for 53. Sapp, 3 for 46. Wilson, 3 for 24 and a touchdown. Harrell, 1 for 15 and a touchdown. Warren, a catch for 8. And Randall, a catch for no gain in the day. For Widener, defensively, Steve Gozer had a total of 7 tackles. 3 more than anyone else had individually on the Widener defense. He also had a pick six and a sack in the game. Kirshner also with a sack. Hardy, Armstrong, and as we said, Gozer with interceptions in this contest. So that's going to do it for this game. Remind you that, again, we are off next week for LVC. It's the bye week for the Flying Dutchman. And they will try to turn things around in 2 weeks as they travel to Lycoming. That is Saturday, October the 22nd. That game, a reminder, will be live on 1510 AM. That will not be live on 91.1 FM on the radio. We will have it, though, on the internet feed online for that one on our WMSSFM.com, the feed that we have there, and as well on the TuneIn app. But that game, again, will not be on 91.1 FM. That game, because of Middletown's homecoming game, that will be at the same time. So that's coming up in 2 weeks. Reminder that next week we have high school football, as it will be Middletown on Friday night playing against Camp Hill at 7 o'clock. We also have Central Dauphin football on the internet next Friday as well, as Central Dauphin is taking on Harrisburg. And that is that's a Saturday game, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that, but I'm not 100% sure. That may be a Saturday game next Saturday. And for those of you, I believe the Central Dolphin game that is going on right now is still underway, 20-10. It's the last score we got from there, Eric Thomas. So on our TuneIn app, you can check that game out as well if you have that opportunity. So that's going to do it from here. For Steve Leedy, for John Wilsbach, and for our studio producers, Lydia and John Hirsch, as well as Gary Gruber. This is Brian Kaiser saying good afternoon from Arnold Field. Homecoming 2016, a large crowd on hand, but unfortunately for them, they see the home team lose to Widener 34-6. We'll see you in 2 weeks as Lycoming will be the opponent for LVC. This has been a presentation of the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.
You've been listening to Lebanon Valley College Football on the Flying Dutchman Radio Network, 91.1 FM, 1510 AM, and the TuneIn app. Your home for the best in LVC sports is the Flying Dutchman Radio Network.